Indeed. The thing about radio. What's up, Bri? Gabe, board up, Bill. Hey, phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
If you insist, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Brian.
You gotta look at Danny's forehead for a second. His brow is covered in sweat.
He's back on the crank. That's the only thing I can...
That's gotta be it.
That's the only answer to this.
That I think you'll, like, one you'll be proud of, one you'll love.
Yes.
And one you'll just make fun of me.
Yeah.
Wait, in which order do we receive these pieces of information?
Well, two of them are up to Adam.
And Angie, by the way, producer Angie told me 20 seconds ago, because I get here early, that Danny was trapped in a parking structure.
They give you that little paper card. I got a gym bag, and now I'm boxing. Do you know how much gear is involved with boxing?
Yeah. I was praying it was under a girder, but evidently it was just trapped in the parking structure, couldn't get out of the parking structure.
It's paper thin, the card. Within the side of a credit card, but it's literally the thickness of this piece of paper.
That you have to feed in to let you out.
But it's not like I could feed it in to let me out. I couldn't find it. It could have slipped in a boxing glove. It could have slipped in one of my boxing shoes. It could have still been in. I bought pants, like you said, with zippers.
Right.
And I took those off because they're soaking wet from the workout. And that's where they were. I went back to the trunk of my car, opened it up, and they were zippered up in the pocket.
You know, a good point that leads us into something we were talking about not 24 hours ago, probably exactly 24 hours ago, which is consistency.
Yeah.
And what you do is you take your keys, your wallet, and your what have you, you put it in a bowl next to your front door when you come home like a monk every day with crazy, it becomes a ritual. Then when you look, if it's not there, well, it's been stolen. It's not, you don't start looking all over the house frantically like I've been doing my whole life. But one other thing you do is when you check into a hotel and they give you a little key card, put it in your wallet or put it wherever it is you put it there every single time so you don't do that thing where you're frisking yourself like you're at the airport and there's some $9 an hour guy going through your junk, except for it's you.
In every exception.
Parking things that way, too. Just put them,
In
the exact where. I won't tell you where to put it. It could be up the took eye, but put it there every single time.
I do. He said I do the wallet.
Yes.
I had the zip-up pants and was ready to go. And I was really... What happened was I went 24-hour fitness. That's my gym. The one by me was not open 24 hours because of an ordinance the last time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I went back today, and that ordinance has been relieved because they're 300 feet back from the street. Mm-hmm. So they're now open 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep last night, so I went to train for... Two and a half hours.
Ooh.
Boxing.
Wait a minute. Now, how does that work? How does that work? You can't sleep, so you get up at what time?
Well, if I can't sleep, I don't get it up at all.
So there's no real sleeping.
When do you punch in at the gym?
You attempt to go to sleep.
I don't mean to like be on sleep deprived and crazy. I slept from 8 to 8:30, 11 to midnight, 1 to 2, and then said, shine it, went to the gym.
Right. So you get up and you
I'm okay. I mean, that's a lot of sleep. I don't need much. I don't need food. I don't need sleep. I'm not one of those guys.
One of those humans? Yeah.
No, but I mean, just as an experiment, we did this a show on the other half called The Big Body Change, but we had 400-pound women and 6 weeks to do it. Mm-hmm. Even if they lost 70 pounds, you couldn't tell. It looked stupid.
Right.
So I said, I'll do it with you. And rather than hassle a diet, because I wasn't as good at nutrition as I am now, I just didn't eat for a month. Because I said, just turn to my wife, I go, you know what? I'm just not going to eat for a month. And I did it. I made 30 days.
And how much weight did you lose?
I got, here's how the letter started. What diet is Danny on? He looked, dear NBC, what diet is Danny on? He looks fabulous. Dear NBC, is Danny okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dear NBC, is Danny sick? Dear NBC, is Danny back on crack? Dear NBC, does Danny have AIDS? That's how it went within 30 days.
Wow.
I weighed 100. This doesn't sound that light. Well, maybe to you. I went down to 132.
Wow. Holy gosh, that is light.
In 30 days.
Wow. So now.
So like when I say I don't need food, I mean, of course I need food to survive, but I don't need it like 3 meals a day or even a meal every other day if I don't need
it. This morning at 2:30, you were boxing?
No, this is what freaked me out. I didn't know this at 24 Hour Fitness because they are by far my favorite gym. They're everywhere, the color code, they're just the best gym there is. But I didn't know this. After the last kickboxing class at night, they lock up the bags. Then everyone should be unsupervised. The gym I go to next door sometimes helps me out, has bags everywhere, but I only have, they open exactly at 5. So I set your timer the second they open it. I had 40 minutes set.
Right.
They hit it, and I hit go. So I'm not even working out yet. And right. But I'm fully dressed except for boxing gloves. I have wraps on already. I got there, my hands
are
wrapped.
Do that before you go to bed?
No, I bought the slip-on kind. But
I'll get taped up before I go to bed in case there's a scrap.
You got to remember, I went to a gym at 2 in the morning. They don't open until 5. I had 3 hours to kill, buddy.
Yeah.
So I just drove. I had some coffee, and then I drove down here, and then I wrapped my hands, and I hung out. Then I hung out with the 3 or 4 other disgruntled, really old people that work out at this hour in the morning.
Yeah, old people. It's weird when my dad goes to bed earlier and gets up earlier with, like, each passing year. Right. He's now actually one day ahead of us.
Right.
He's crossed the international daylight.
He lives in Pasadena, but somehow it's Friday to him.
And
he's
Australia.
Up. Yeah. It's Friday, and it's about 8:30 in the evening for him, and he's getting tired.
So I go to 24-Hour Fitness, and that's what I'm planning. I've really figured out until Adam officially starts training me, and that's one of the things I have with me today. I have 4 things with me today that we can just spread out, or I have other stuff, but I have 4 things I thought would mean something to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're in my car. So I get there, and it's my plan. I'm dead set. I'm not kidding around at all. I don't care how old he is. I don't care. 100-something amateur fights. My trainer for celebrity boxing was 70, and he'd have killed me. First, uh-huh. I'd have never caught him. That guy, Wild Card, you know those guys. They're real. I'd never caught that guy. So I'm taking this very seriously. They got no bags, and I'm going to box today. I go to his lifted, but no, I have a plan. I'm sticking with it. So I come down here 3 hours later, and I'm banging away. But I'm, you know, now things are confused and flipped out. And literally, when I had a time. So at 5, and my watch at 5, and their watch at 5, I don't know what was wrong. Your beeper goes off at 40 minutes. It's now 20 to 6.
I got Danny a timer that was supposed to be for smoking. I didn't know it was going to be used to work out.
No.
Wow.
So, for the deaf, dumb, and blind to him, my daddy got me a timer. So, I'm right on time. I take a shower. Life is good. It's going to be, you know, close, but no closer than we cut it sometimes.
Right.
But then I have to call Angie because I don't know. I'm probably, my first choice is just go. It's a wooden gate, and it's not my car. It's a Cerritos Nissan. It's a big truck. I'll bash down that gate and pay for it later.
Well, I've found that minus the antenna, and most cars don't even have one of those hanging out of them anymore unless you drive in like a new Mustang or certain cars like that. Most cars, if you drive a sleekish car, anything in the sports car realm or anything just above that, you kind of go as wide to the right as you can and go nice and slowly. Those gates are just a piece of 1x4. Right. They have some play in them. You can stick your hand out the window and lift them up and just slide right under them. I've done that more than once.
Streak sometimes down the back, though.
I seem to get caught oftentimes when I'm leaving work behind the guy who lost his ticket, who doesn't have enough money to pay the maximum, whatever, who then has to get into a long-winded conversation with the guy who's in the booth, who then needs a bunch of personal information and a form filled out. Listen, if you're in the, say something quickly, if you work in this, and maybe it's just Los Angeles, maybe this isn't this way in other cities, but first off, you folks that work in parking, whether you're working the parking lot, whether you're in the booth, whether you're the guy who's giving out the chicken-ass tickets, whether you're the meter maid, whatever it is, I don't know who died and made you boss, but please drop the attitude. These guys act like they own you. It's the only place in our society where a guy who's getting $8 an hour is standing there with his arms folded and he's going, listen, Dr. Fagenbaum, who's sitting there in a Rolls Royce. I don't know.
Some lady who's not Mrs. Fagenbaum and their security cameras.
You lost your ticket. You owe $14. You
$28 at the Grove yesterday.
$28. I see $20. According to my math, that's $4 or $8 short. Now, you're not going anywhere. These guys start tossing around attitude. There's more attitude given out normally those guys than any other facet of society. Yet, you get paid the least and you took a moped to your job.
But dig this, the reversal of fortunes. I happen to have some serious cash on me today. I need some stuff today and I like to buy in cash. I have $300 in 20s probably. And they don't have people anymore.
Nobody. It's automated. That's right.
There was no person.
No one could help you.
I was there an hour. It should have cost, with validation, nothing. Without a validation, $2. Maximum, maybe $20. I got it. Get me to work. No people. No right. button to call for assistance. No nothing.
So how did you get out? You called Angie.
I called Angie, and then I remembered you. I remembered I bought those pants specifically because of you with the zippered pockets.
Yes.
And I went, I wonder if it's in there. I went, and because they're all wet because I work really hard. You're doing proud today.
Mm-hmm.
And I unwrapped them from the towel because I didn't want to touch my other clothes. And I unzipped the pocket, and there it was.
Moral of the story, kiddies, consistency. Not for anybody else but you. And it doesn't matter where. It just has to be the same wear every time. And it's also one of these things where it's sad. And I wish this stuff, and I don't blame the school system, and I don't blame my parents. Actually, I blame the school system and my parents, but I don't blame them all wholly. I split it up between them. I am 42 and figured this out 4 months ago. You know what I mean? This should have been beaten into my head when I was 9. Somebody should have said, hey, when you come home, you put your wind-up beanie in the same place every day, and you put your Partridge Family lunch pail in the same place every day, and just get into these habits. Now, I'm not trying to turn you into a drone or a robot.
It's a great idea. I spend much more time this.
Do it for you. Throw the keys in the same place. Throw the parking ticket in the same place.
My keys at home are never a problem. They're in the ignition of all my cars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I do. They're never a problem. So you want to come up my driveway and take a chance on that dog because lights light up. You want to take that chance for a Nissan and Gretchen's Ford because my GTO is locked up in a vault, dude. Mm-hmm. You want to take that chance with that dog? I don't want to look for my keys. Go ahead, roll your dice. But the thing I was going to say about always put your keys in the same place, it must be fairly evident there's a little trouble in Paradise at the Bonaduce house right now. Uh-huh. That doesn't help if that key you grabbed in the morning doesn't fit the lock at night.
What?
Mm. Locks change?
Gretchen changed the locks?
Twice. And I've changed them once. Bonaduce's fight more by 7 in the morning than most people do all day.
So the locksmith basically loves doesn't even need to map
in.
Quest you.
He should either move it and just hold the door shut so I can't come in.
And by the way, you mentioned your dog. You have a gigantic German Shepherd.
A very serious German Shepherd.
And then one that's bald and needs sunscreen, right?
And sweaters.
The whole change the locks on the door, I thought was just sort of a metaphor for we're breaking up, but no one actually changed the locks. I mean, I kind of knew they did that, but I thought it was something that people talked about all the time and never actually did.
I have a gigantically stupid built house from 1926. There's 300 ways in it. Changing the front door lock was I'm showing you this. Right. No other locks were changed. There were 50 ways in that house.
Right.
Yeah. On the other hand, I could have gone to one of them rather than the fact that the door is framed in glass and kicked it in and then opened the door from the other side.
Well,
That's probably why she changed locks, because I do stuff like that.
I'm trying to think how we're going to do this, because we got an argument, not between you and Gretchen this time, but between Dr. William Donahue, president of the Catholic League, and I guess it's Cosimo, Caballero, I guess, who's an artist, and he works... He made a chocolate Jesus, and I've seen a picture of it, and it's a full-size chocolate Jesus, and it has it's not like it has a marzipan loincloth or anything on it. It is just a chocolate Jesus with chocolate Jesus junk. I think Dr. William Donahue.
That is
Donahue,
a good band name, Chocolate Jesus Junk.
That is good. That's nice. I like that.
I like that. I like to play the hollowed-out fish for that band.
I always say to myself, I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car. That's all I know that one, too. Janis Joplin, you just can't go wrong.
We're going to have these two brainiacs square off on the show in just a moment. I think we'll bring them up next, and we'll get into this debate. The point is this guy did what a lot of artists do, whether it's dunking him in urine or making him out of chocolate.
Is that the same? There was an artist that put a crucifix. This is when I first married Gretchen and realized how Christian she was. And the whole piece of art was a crucifix. And a cross without Jesus on it is a cross.
Mm-hmm.
You put Jesus on hanging from the nails, it's a crucifix. She put a crucifix upside down in a jar of urine.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a Christian at all at that point in my life. I could not have been more offended. I was flipped out that she would do that to people that would care. And I wasn't even one of them.
I get offended at those who attempt to offend.
Yes, me too.
That's,
Or was he just expressing himself in chocolate?
No, in chocolate I don't think I care much. You're going to have to explain this to me. But that's why I've said, and I hope I've said this to Adam, because I'm sorry they did away with dueling.
Yes.
I really am terribly sorry, because there are people you don't stand a chance. They can offend you all day. One of those mixed martial arts masters could talk about your children to your face, and there's nothing you can do but take your beating as a man, at least.
Good day,
sir! But if you can look at him and you can say, sunrise, pistols,
mm-hmm.
then you see who's truly offended. I'm really sorry they did away with dueling. Andrew Jackson was good at it.
24-hour fitness, say 5 a.m. Do not forget your parking stub.
Dude, they lock up the speed bags. They're not going to let us shoot each other.
My lady will be wearing a unitard. All right, she's teaching you yon spinning class. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back to debate the chocolate Jesus next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lakeland, Florida. A 46-year-old man passed out next to a lake after smoking marijuana and shooting methamphetamine. The man had to be rescued in the nude after an alligator came ashore and bit off his arm and left buttock. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, we have a couple candidates for that coming up next on the show. So Cosmo Cavallaro, he's an artist.
He'd be the artist.
He did a chocolate Jesus exhibit known as My Sweet Lord. Have you guys seen the picture of the chocolate Jesus?
Yes, huge 6-foot chocolate Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Jesus would have been nowhere near 6 feet either.
So let's talk to
him. I knew you wouldn't care for that.
First.
No, he wouldn't, just because nobody was.
Cosmo?
Good morning, Adam. Good morning, Dana. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
To speak to you.
Morning.
So the chocolate Jesus, first off, how do you make a chocolate Jesus, and then how do you keep it from, I don't know, melting or cracking or whatever?
Well, you start with a lot of passion, a lot of conviction, and then you got to keep it refrigerated.
Uh-huh. Would it be harder to make a chocolate Buddha? I mean, would that take longer?
Probably. Probably.
But it's based loosely on the Hershey Kiss, you know, so you just get a giant one of those and go at it with a hot butter knife. So you make 6 foot, and I'm looking at it. It looks amazing.
It's great.
Obviously, you're a talented sculptor. I can see it looks wonderful. I don't know about the part about using the Hershey bar for the ding-a-ling in the middle of the Snickers or whatever the hell that is. But the point is that Jesus has the schmeckle hanging down in front of it.
It's anatomically correct.
But that is the point. The point is, I see the medium never being done before the chocolate. That's interesting.
Right.
And that's the part that, in my opinion, should have been never done before. Why not the loincloth and the side in the ribs, the wound in the ribs, as the traditional Jesus made of your texture of chocolate? Why did he have to be naked? What was the point of that?
Well, the fact that he is a man, and the fact that it's historically correct that he was publicly hung and naked and to be humiliated.
He was naked when he was put up on the cross. He wasn't sporting the chamois?
No, he wasn't. That was something that was done afterwards to, I guess, exactly what just happened here is to, you know, not offend some people viewing it. Mm-hmm. But what I find interesting is that it's an edible material. And the point that they brought up, which was that it's becoming real. Because if you're looking at this body of Christ and it's edible and the genitals are exposed, are you having a relationship to him as a man? You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what actually starts to happen here that they boycotted was this freedom of speech with the peace.
So now, you know? I guess my feeling is, and just for the record, I'm an atheist who isn't really bothered by much, except for sometimes I see people deliberately attempting to offend.
Right.
And I see the guy who puts the Jesus in the urine, I think, well, I don't care. I'm an atheist. But I don't like the fact that he's trying to upset my friends and neighbors.
Right. And I, on the other hand, am a, and I'm just getting good at it, but I have been baptized, and I do the right things. I go to church every Sunday, and I volunteer. So I consider myself a pretty good Christian. With some bad habits. And Teresa Strasser is a Jew. So you've got the gambit here. And so what would be our collective thought on the fact? Because the only thing that bothers me at all is that now I've got on Google, I've got it right up here, that he was not naked. He was lashed down. What does it say exactly? His clothes were lashed away, leaving him only with... something about the minimum, he had minimum, not privacy, I can't really read it from here. But he did have something on.
I have on Wikipedia he was rocking the Uggs. I don't know if that's always the most reliable source.
They were out even then.
See, I don't mind the chocolate, I think that's interesting as hell. I think the art is really good.
Can I clarify with Cosmo? Because I actually think he made a good point, which is that as an artist, he felt that to make this chocolate Jesus naked made him more human and more vulnerable. Were you just trying to provoke, or was that your reasoning behind it?
No, my reasoning behind it is that as a kid, I grew up with this iconic image everywhere, in the school, in the home, in the church, and you carry it in your subconscious. Mm-hmm. What bothered me was that this was a figure that I couldn't get close to. It was this dead piece of wood or a piece of stone or a piece of metal. And I wanted to bring it to life. And I work with food, so making it in chocolate was a way to bring it to life for me. And I said, if I can bring this to life and put a taste in some people's mouths as they look at this, then there's a communication with it rather than just, you know, this metaphysical communication.
Now, Cosmo, does this Jesus then at a certain point go on sale, or after it's displayed, does it go back to somebody's, your home? Does it get melted down? What becomes of the Jesus?
This was the idea, is that it was going to be on display for the 7 days of the Easter holiday, and whatever the temperature was going to be was going to happen to the piece. And ideally was that if it were to melt, then basically what you saw was the disappearing of the body.
I like it.
But it remained in spirit.
All right. I like and your personal religious convictions, if you don't mind us asking?
I'm Catholic, I believe in this. To me, the prophet Jesus is that whenever there's an imbalancement in life, there's always the opposition to balance.
Well, speaking of the opposition, Dr. William A. Donahue, president of the Catholic League, is also on the phone. Dr. William?
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Now, you guys have had your run-ins in the past over this issue?
Yes, I have. You know, I've dealt with Cosmo on a couple of shows now, and I want to say one thing. While I don't appreciate what he did, I'm convinced that he does have good motive. So I don't want to impugn bad motive to him. Nonetheless, people can offend even if it's not intentional. And quite frankly, to invite the public to come in and eat Jesus with his genitals exposed...
Well, they're not eating him. I think they're just viewing him.
During Holy Week is offensive. And I know damn well that if Muhammad had been asked, if the public is asked to eat Muhammad during Ramadan, there would have been a major, major uproar.
Well, they weren't, and that's why we live in this country.
That's why we went with Win a Wee for a Wee.
The fact is, it is in fact good art, and as I said, I am a Christian. I'm not offended. I would have personally gone for the loincloth, but maybe that's just me. But I actually see the art here. Adam was saying he sees people offending to offend, and Adam is an atheist and doesn't like that. I see that and I don't like that. I don't see it here. It's a good piece of work that I see no harm.
So, in other words, you don't have any problem. Remember that this is in the heart of New York City, on street level, where kids can come in right off the street and come in and see Jesus with his genitals exposed during Holy Week, and everyone's invited to take a bite of him. Well, you don't see any problem.
I don't think they are invited to eat him. I didn't know the eat him part.
So, Cosmo, who is the artist that's behind this.
Hello? I'm sorry?
Can they eat him? Can the kids just walk in and eat Jesus anytime they feel like it?
No. Okay, it was in a gallery closed. By window.
All you've got here, doctor, is the statue of David that is now the statue of Jesus. You can walk in street level and there's David's wiener by Michelangelo.
Right, but the thing is that the gallery guy who was there, who now has resigned, he in fact did invite people in to eat it. So, I mean, that's why New Yorkers were upset. I mean, if in fact I put out a statement about this and everyone thinks that I'm nuts, then nobody would have said anything. Quite frankly, people who are not Catholic at all jumped on this in New York City. They saw this as an offense. As I say, I don't think Cosimo has bad motive, but he has to understand that Christian sensibilities are pretty raw in this country because there seems to be open season here. It's one thing after another, and we're a little bit fed up with it.
We are the last group that you can openly make fun of. No gays, no blacks, no lesbians, no Jews. If you want to make fun of somebody today on television and not get a bunch of letters, you make fun of a middle-class white Catholic Protestant or Lutheran.
That's
you're
right.
Fine.
And fat people, we can still make fun of over close to losing them.
We have to whisper that. But a fat Catholic, then you're okay.
That's why I'm going to make a white chocolate fat Catholic.
I got to say, I did get a kick out of last night. South Park lampooned me as a result of this. They had me taking over from the Pope and telling Jesus and the Pope to be arrested. In the end, Jesus kills me. So,
Wow.
Dr. William, how'd you feel about that?
I'm guilty. They caricatured me as a kind of a heartless thug, and I have no defense.
I got an interesting question. I think I shouldn't say that. Set yourself up. What color, Doc, do you think Jesus would actually be?
I think he probably had a darker complexion. And the fact
darker than what? Darker than the black keys on a piano?
Listen, if they want to portray Jesus as black, that doesn't bother me at all.
So that's not the issue.
The issue is that he doesn't. The issue is that he's uncovered in his genitals. That's the issue for you?
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, we've seen a lot of depictions of Martin Luther King. Obviously, he was nude at different times. If you showed him nude, I think African Americans wouldn't be too happy, particularly if you did it on Martin Luther King Day in January.
I thought you meant answering Martin Luther putting up the 94 proclamations on his front door.
Now, Cosimo, what is your nationality or your race?
I'm Italian. I'm a Christian Catholic.
Oh, okay. So this has nothing to do with...
I'm sorry, did you say you were a Christian Catholic as opposed to those non-Christian Catholics?
No, meaning I'm a Catholic. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. So, yep. So
I hope your heart's good.
And Cosimo, is there anything? Is it Cosimo or is it Cosmo?
Cosimo, somewhere in between those two.
Either way, I like that about you. Well, see, it doesn't sound like you're trying to evoke or elicit a response. It just seems like you're trying to express yourself, and somehow the guy who worked at the gallery inviting kids in to eat your product. And by the way,
I have to say that's so not true because
it didn't sound true.
I did a show there where I sliced 350 pounds of ham on a bed. He was so afraid to keep the doors open.
Cosimo, that begs the question because you actually work in a lot of food. You work in ham, you work in fish, you work in cheese.
No, with Jesus, he
why did you choose chocolate?
I did a whole living room set and chairs and candy, different flavors as well.
Why chocolate for Jesus?
To me, I love the idea that it's a perishable, you know, to look
that's
like
very nice heavy.
Yes. You know, and not to look at life and think it's an eternity and don't get comfortable with life, whatever
it's
you're looking
ephemeral.
At.
It's ephemeral.
What about Dr. William, who's the president of the Catholic League,
that's
is...
So far, I like better.
Is if you went and made yourself a Allah out of lard, you'd be hung by your feet in this town. I mean,
there'd
be death threats against you. So what I think what Dr. William is saying, Jesus is an easy target because we get to do whatever we want and right. No one ever says anything about it or does anything about it. Whereas you do a cartoon that depicts Allah in a negative light and you're running for your life for the next 30 years.
On next week's To Catch a Predator, they're doing the jelly Jesus, except it's actually a guy just smeared with Smuckers.
That's perfectly also, that's the point. If I were a Muslim, then I have the liberty to do that if I wanted to.
No, you do not.
But I'm a Catholic, and I feel that my religion is a very tolerant religion, and I can express myself the way I want with my Jesus.
So therefore, to
believe that I was going to get this controversy, how can I if you're just agreeing with what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I say two words on that point? My ass. You knew what was coming. You wanted it coming. You were begging for it coming. You made food. You made Jesus Christ, the personal savior of about a third of the world, out of candy with his wang hanging out rather than cover him up in a loincloth. Don't tell me you're shocked by the country. You were begging for it, and I'll bet the price of your other work just went up.
No.
What do you mean no? What good argument is no?
Great art is evocative. That's the idea.
Let me tell you.
Great art gets expensive.
Yes, but let me tell you, first of all, to believe that Mr. Donahue was out there and he was going to come after me in this way, I didn't believe it.
I haven't come after you once.
You should thank him.
He shut down the show. It wasn't a gallery. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything outside of the art world. I mean, I could have put it into the, you know, in Times Square in a glass cube, but that's not what I did.
No, you have your rights. You have your absolute rights.
I did it in a gallery. I did it within my parameters of expression. That's my world. If I'm going to have a box, you know, if I happen to murder a man in a boxing ring, you know, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. If I murder him outside that ring, then that's another thing.
All right.
That's what's happening. So, one. Number two, going back to the nudity, there are plenty of paintings from Brunelleschi where you see a nude Jesus. There's sculptures from Michelangelo in the Vatican where you see a nude Jesus.
Sure, and from Raphael around the Vatican in the back. Absolutely.
So is he from
that Ninja Turtle movie?
They see it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, why should we be ashamed of how we're made?
All right.
We're not.
I understand where both you're coming from.
Right.
Now let's
and
get
that
down.
That never happens. Somebody has to be killed, and now it doesn't look like either of you.
Let's get down to brass tacks. How much for the chocolate schmeckle?
Ah.
I like to put that baby on eBay.
You know, I've had offers to sell.
Really?
For how much?
How much?
I don't want to sell it.
You
That's
won't
not
sell
what
it.
I'm for. No.
You're just going to wait until time and the sun melts down your Jesus.
Well, see, I have a mold. I have a mold that can make many of them.
Ah.
So, my idea is
Can you fill them with nougat? Because to me, where you cross the line is where nougat comes out of the Jesus
penis.
That's
offensive.
That is offensive. Yeah.
When is the Cadbury egg?
When you pierce his side and Kool-Aid comes out, just rude, buddy.
Now, Virgin Mary out of peeps is
all right. All right. You know what? I think we should all agree to disagree because...
You know, I don't think we disagree that much, Adam. I think we're okay. I think the doctor is upset for the doctor's reason. I think the artist is upset for the artist's reason. I'm trying hard to be a Christian. I'm not very good
at it. No, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, between Dr. William and Cosimo, I think... I think
they'll make the rounds because it's not good. And I think, unfortunately, Doc, I really want you to find an angle because Cosimo is going to make some real cash here. And I'm not kidding. I want you to listen to me carefully here. I'm a hustler and a scammer, and here's what's going to happen. Every drop of chocolate that falls off Jesus in the sun is a dollar sign on this cat's next painting. Or if he paints his next painting out of the melted chocolate from his plastic Jesus. I'm not fooling with you. You need an angle to bring somebody to your side of the table and make some profit so you can promote whatever you need to promote.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of your next painting, which is going to be done in Ragu... How do you make money, Cosmo? I know you're an artist, but eventually you have to keep the lights on in the loft, right? I mean, who buys art made of perishables?
I do a lot of other things other than...
What have you made out of butter?
Out of butter?
Yeah.
A living.
He works, unfortunately... is this? I read that you work also, and I'm sorry it's early, but that you work in feces.
Well, I did the alphabet, so Jesus.
You didn't do the alphabet.
God. Give me a break. Cosmo, come on. You can do better than that.
He left out all the bowels, but left in all the consonants.
Where do you get the feces for this?
It's mine.
Come on.
Where do I sign up to buy that?
Well, yeah, what do you think? You wait in line at the feces store?
You find a drifter.
I find these guys both incredible guys, and then the Quasimo goes.
But I mean, if you're producing your own lead for your own mechanical pencil, why go outside the apartment?
That's a good point.
Exactly.
Cosimo, I think he just stepped in it.
Yeah, you know what, Doc?
Oh, wait a minute.
You weren't doing that well, Doc.
I got to tell you something. It's what I digest, and that's the way I see it.
I'm sure, but you're expressing something by using the waste, right?
Right.
What is it?
Listen, guys, you know, hey, that's what I do. And I
do.
And I stand behind it. And in front
actually, you stand in front of it, yeah.
Cosimo, please tell me.
I went to an exhibit and it was the crappiest thing I ever saw.
One thing for sure is that, I'm not going to be the moral voice or the authority voice on what is art.
I understand. But, William, you got to figure you just dodged a bullet now. Right. Normally, this guy's used to working in his own flop. He made your Jesus out of chocolate,
right,
which is as good as you're going to do with Cosimo, because Cosimo works in food or fecal.
And Cosimo has learned his lesson. He won't be doing so much fecal anymore.
Worst Merchant Ivory film ever, food and fecal, by the way.
Helena Bonham Carter was great.
No question about it. I mean, I should feel grateful as a result of this.
All right.
The attention. I just want to say, Doc, you need, because I think to promote anything, good, evil, or whatever, you need some bankroll. You need a hook. And I will tell you, Cosimo, words are not your friend. If you'd done this interview and ended it 5 minutes ago, you were winning. And then you broke out excrement. And
well, that was Teresa doing her job.
Yeah, but then you make fun of it, and it comes out of me as things I digest, and then you become a wanky, everything Soho artist I ever met.
I don't know. I agree now he's nuts, but I'm not pinning that on him because Teresa brought it up, and he was being honest. But Cosimo.
Yes.
Please, and I put Dr. William on hold so we could get through this. Please tell me your dad is a cop or principal or something, or a naval officer. Please tell me you have a parent that has a job like that.
No, my father was a steel worker, and my mother owned a deli.
Ah.
That's
got to go great on the job site.
If you look at some of my other work, I did work in steel sculptures, and I've done
ham living rooms.
What's your dad's first name?
My dad's first name is Giuseppe. He's no longer
with us. That's sad.
But my mother's still alive, and her name is Amalia, and she's the first artist I encountered in my life.
Oh, okay, but how's it go with the deli? Do people come in and go, "Hey, how's the son, Fecal Angelo, doing?" Sweetie, wash your hands before you slice that ham. Would you? Jesus Christ!
She's no longer with the deli.
All right.
Not at the galley anymore.
All right, Cosimo. Well, when you're sculpting the alphabet out of your own fecal matter, is that a sculpture?
No, I'm not sculpting. I'm trying to do it in that shape.
Uh-huh.
When you get to B, that's
I'm
a rough
day. You, buddy.
Wow.
I don't want to do Q.
I mean, an S is no problem, but
actually, S is hard. Try I. I is really hard too.
Okay, I'll do that right after the show.
Uppercase, like I feel like a lowercase Q would be a difficult.
Give me a break.
Would be a tall order in the fecal department.
Think about it tomorrow morning.
Okay, all right. All right.
So I is the most difficult.
We're going to hang up on you, and I'm going to think about you right now, which bugs me because I'm going to eat something.
All right, but wait a minute. I know it's early for the fecal talk, so I'll try to keep it as sterilized as possible.
But Doc, give yourself a break. This guy, I don't mean to be rude, Cosimo, I really don't, but you're not particularly articulate. You don't have a lot of passion in your voice. The doctor sounds articulate. You're in passion, and Doc, you're losing.
Give me a break.
Stop saying that.
You have the right to interpret what passion is.
I'm not going to give you anything. Neither is this guy.
Give me a break.
That was Brian. Doc has been on hold.
Give me a break.
The next time Jack Silver comes in here and says I interrupt and I repeat myself, somebody's losing it on. That's all I'm saying.
Do the extended dance version of Dr. William doing Give Me a Break.
Give me a break.
Now
give
what?
Me a break.
Would you be quiet?
Give me a
break. What the hell is wrong with you?
He's
all right, this is taking a turn for the surreal. Cosimo.
The surreal life. Good now time. I'm going to accept an offer.
All right, how long did it take you to do... How long did it
take you to ruin my career?
To the alphabet?
To the alphabet.
It's been a long time. I don't remember.
Okay. And again...
You know, every time I dookie the entire alphabet, I forget how long it took.
Yeah. All right. Look, and by the way, to all you kids who can burp the alphabet, take that, Monoraffer. You're nothing. All right, Cosimo, I'd like to talk to you in the future because I feel another provocative project is in the wings.
Did you see that guy crucified to a Volkswagen Beetle, Cosimo? Do you remember that?
Hmm? What? Do we have a drop of Cosimo? No. Cosimo, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Danny.
Do you remember when that guy had him crucified himself with a nail gun to a Volkswagen Bug and was driven around New York?
That was Cosimo.
No,
I don't remember that either.
No, it's very. I thought that was interesting because that's putting in the sweat.
How long ago did that?
Oh, God, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, they're the people that talk about it, and then they're the people that do it, and the folks.
That's why I got the idea for the nail gun, to see if I could take it.
Thousands of them a year crucify themselves. None of them, thankfully, over at Kimmel's when we watch football on Sunday, because I'm not sure what we'd have to talk about.
Why won't you invite me?
You'd be, well,
bring a
this
decent
year,
nail gun, get some wood, and I'll show you a trick you never saw
this
before.
This year, we'll do it to the 6-foot platter that the sub comes on.
Yeah, I'll do it on my hand, and I'll just serve.
Give me a break.
Well, that was interesting and surreal at the same
Until
time.
Until Brian F. B. right in the keister. You guys, I thought that was fascinating.
I tried to tip you off, but then it got too funny.
Yeah, eventually we decided.
You know, when somebody, I see them mugging you in the parking lot, you're screaming for help, and your bra all of a sudden goes up over your head, I'm going to go, no, nah, it's just too funny. This is what you remember this moment.
Well, let's...
I was talking to Corolla.
Let's think of an excuse to talk to the kiddies at 866-901 Adam. Let's see. What are the open topics? I mean, we can keep this one going, see who's offended and see who isn't, but
I got this. I got one for more like preteens in that area. Is Japanese anime blatantly sexual? Do you have sexual desire for those characters?
I'll tie it together. We're talking about art, and we're talking about semi-controversial art, and I find the anime creepy and off-putting.
Dude, that's what you get. I've been to Japan with my daughter. It's not like the creepy stuff you get here. They don't wear panties. The superheroes, when they fly, and you get up the dresses here, and you see that little thing of underwear, it's like so sexual.
Right.
They're not wearing them in Japan. They're drawn before they get here. They don't have underwear on in Japan.
They're adding them to, for here. For us. All right, well, anime, there you go, or whatever your art form is. There's a lot of it that freaks out a lot of people. I don't understand a lot of it. And then the other part of it is a lot of people wait in line to get this stuff. And art or animation is very interesting in the sense that either it works or it doesn't. It's like South Park works. It's crude. It's cheap. It's fast. I don't know why it works. If somebody explained to me what it was, I would tell them that sounds horrible.
Mr. Crank Yankers is telling us why this works out.
You either watch it and it works or it doesn't, which is weird. And that's one thing I like about art. I like that about music. I like it about animation. I like it about paintings. You stand in front of a painting and you go, either it works or it doesn't work. And a quick, interesting tidbit on that. I once had a horrible job where I had to drive to Oxnard and set up a bunch of really cheap art for one of those companies that sells sofa-sized paintings.
Right.
For like $49. Ooh. It'd be ironic if they were only of sofas. I'd like to have a huge picture of my sofa behind my sofa.
90 dogs playing cards with their feet.
Right. I unloaded 400 pieces of art and set it up on an easel in a YMCA so old people could feel like they were amongst the initiated. I pulled out one, and there was one piece of art that I announced out of the four pieces I took out. I said, these all have been bad, but none worse than this painting. This painting blows ass. Nobody's going to buy this painting as I set it up. And an old guy promptly walked up to it as I was setting up and said, this is my favorite. I must have it. I will call it Love of Life. He actually crowned it. He took a sword out and he dubbed it Love of Life and said, I don't care what this goes for on the auction block. It's coming home with me to my trailer. He actually drove us home
to the art place.
The point is I realized at that point, wow, it takes all kinds, time. And I don't like NASCAR, but it's the biggest sport in the world, and I hate this painting, but there's an old guy who loves this painting. I want to know what your love of life is, and yes, with an emphasis on anime. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy. Today's topic, the National Endowment for the Arts.
Do I think it's in society's interest to promote art? Of course. But it's a slippery slope. First, we're picking up the tab for the Nutcracker at the community center. Then the next thing you know, our taxes are paying for a group of performance artists to defecate into an air cannon and fire it into a troop of learning disabled Cub Scouts. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
That was Slippery Slope Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Cosimo, I hope you have a pencil handy.
Yeah,
that'll be
notes.
His next trick.
But once you've pooped out the alphabet, it's all downhill.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, I don't think I could poop the alphabet if I ate the alphabet. I don't think I'm that skilled.
If I had alphabet soup, I couldn't poop the alphabet.
It is the one thing that no matter what it is, whether it's a banana or a ham sandwich, it all gets transformed into the same shape, and it's all equally as bad. All right. Well, we were talking about anime. I must say, and I hate to admit it, but I've always found those anime cartoons off-putting and sort of visually...
stimulating, sexual.
No. Well, yes. That's the next place I'm going. I normally just found it to be sort of art that didn't work for me, and it's sort of annoying.
Yeah,
I guess.
Hate the ones that aren't the sexual ones where their eyes. And I don't know if this is a thing that the Japanese artists do because they mostly come out of Japan. Some Japanese anime isn't Japanese, but when they get excited, their eyes take over their whole face. And when they're shocked, water sprays out the top of their head. It's just very, that's very odd, aside from the sexual nature.
Their eyes are mammoth, and then their mouth is the size of Bernadette Peters' mouth. And I don't like it. It freaks me out. And then I saw some anime where the chick had huge jugs, and I turned the corner. It was sad. I had to take a good long look in the mirror.
Right.
Well, your kids aren't old. My daughter was... And still interested, but was. That's all she did was anime. And when she had her MySpace page, it was dedicated all to anime. And Gretchen and I go every 72 hours and double check it and make sure people weren't, you know, a 50-year-old man in his underwear saying it was a 12-year-old girl.
Right.
But anime, and they knew names. She actually wants me to get a tattoo of...
The artist or the character? As far as the names.
She knows all the authors of all the books, too. But this guy's a big blonde guy that carries a giant sword, and I said I would do it.
Jason, by the way, from Lake Elsinore, says there's an anime love doll, which, of course...
There's all sorts of stuff.
...is the next progression in anything that becomes popular. Jason?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening, Jason?
Not much. Love your show, by the way.
Thanks. What are you doing in Lake Elsinore?
Not much. It's a quiet town.
Mm-hmm. What do you do to pay the bills?
Repair cash registers, of all things.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it'd be okay for you to get your hand caught in the cash register. It's good stuff, Ace Man.
Do you remember back yesterday when he was a genius and everything? Remember those days?
Yeah.
You repair cash registers in Lake Elsinore. Talk about life in the fast lane. And do you have one of these anime dolls, or you just know of them?
No, I actually want to get one just because the concept cracks me up so much. Basically, they've got the huge almond-shaped eyes like all the anime characters have, and I think they have purple hair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about the Japanese. Yeah, they love the odd-colored hair.
And it's strange to me that this comes out of Japan, although not really, because I've found with cultures, thanks, Jason, I found that with cultures that are sort of buttoned down and proper, when they go big. It's sort of like, in a way, you take the British. The British and the Japanese are both interesting to me, and for the same reasons, which is they're wearing powdered wigs. They're very they're genteel. They're polite. They're in general, they speak the Queen's English, whatever. But when it comes to comedy, they like Benny Hill and Monty Python.
Yeah, and dresses.
They like a 50-year-old guy in a dress chasing around a chick in a bra and panties while Wacky Sax plays in the background. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't seem to fit, whereas we're much less cultured, but we would rather hear Lenny Bruce. You know what I'm saying? It's strange to me how that works, but it's no coincidence that the Japanese are very buttoned down and they're doing a lot of bowing and they're very reverent people and so on and so forth. But when they go off, I mean, when it's time to drop the pants, look out, baby. We got a virgin and we're eating sushi off her.
Right.
And so on and so forth. So
I didn't see them, but I was told about them before I went and told that I was correct when I was there. I took my daughter, one of the few places I've ever taken my daughter by myself, Mexico once and now Hawaii once. So I guess actually a lot of places. But we went to Tokyo because she was so into Japanese anime from the time she was 4. And I said, if she doesn't let this go by the time she's 10 or 11, I'm going to take her.
You took her to
Tokyo.
I'm going to kill my parents. I couldn't get to Van Nuys.
Dude, and she hates me. She asked for Photoshop 2 yesterday at $700. And I said, you won't understand it. That's a professional thing to take out wrinkles. Let's go get the $200 version. She went, yelling everywhere.
So you, she said, what?
you?
I said, you want $200 fine, Dad.
So she sulked a little.
Took her to Japan because she liked anime.
I took her to Japan because she's to see the Harajuku girls, and we both bought jewelry and
outfits. Those are the Gwen Stefani girls, right?
I took her to Japan by myself for that.
Please, here's my dream for you. I build a time machine to 1974, and I take your daughter back with me. And I let her know what it's like.
Here's my dream.
How would I know that?
To be a Corolla?
Yes.
No, my dream is to take a machine, call the car, and just drop her off at his place.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, except for I couldn't really fully do the Corollas justice. Oh, I could weave her some horror stories, but oh, to Japan.
Dude, her mom's the same way, though. It's just like, after a while, if you, like the money thing and the doting thing, they come together with a guy like me that has unlimited imagination, or that my partner or child has unlimited imagination. What is a display of, don't ignore this guy, he did this for you. Mother and daughter suffer from that one together.
Yeah.
I suffer from alcoholism, cheating, and being a pig. You know, I don't think I'm calling you names if you're listening.
You know the key to happiness, it never happens. The people that are living in North Hollywood and can't get a ride to Van Nuys are miserable. The people who live in Beverly Hills and go to Japan for anime festivals are not much more happier, unfortunately. The key is to shift back and forth.
She made me unhappy. She was happy for those 10 days.
Toggle back and forth. You know how your daughter would be happy? Come live with the Corollas in 1974 in North Hollywood for a week. Then she'll be happy to be back in the Bonaducci house. That'll last for a week. Then it's back to the Corolla house because it wears off.
Well, that's what happened. I don't know. I've mentioned casually there's a little trouble in paradise right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And here's what it comes from. Because I never raised my hand to my daughter or any child ever. Because you cross that line where I grew up, who knows where that ends. Right. I don't think my brothers or sisters might.
Bonaducci is told, and by the way, this is on the air Bonaducci, but the off the air Bonaducci has said he would never, ever raise his hand to a woman. He said a front ball kick, much more effective.
Yeah, well,
keep the hands up, protect the face.
Raise come a hand,
I know
have
balls. Right. My sister actually said, and I only say this because she's out of town, because she's a very private person, didn't have children because she's afraid of the way we were raised that she might do it. It was a bad time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I've never, ever, ever raised a hand, but sometimes I will use shockingly dirty language at her at the top of my voice. Because that's the same thing as hitting.
That's what started the trouble between you and Gretchen, if
no,
I'm not mistaken.
No, what started the trouble is Gretchen didn't come to church with me when they invited me to read scripture for the first time in a year and a half. And Isabella said, she said something about Isabella I won't explain because that's Isabella's privacy, but it was bad that Isabella was in a bad place. And reduced my wife to tears. So I went in and I used this language to a 12-year-old, and I'll be appropriately ashamed, so please don't write.
Okay.
I went, are you out of your effing mind? Reduce an adult to tears? Do you believe you have that right? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you out to one of those outward bound places. There'll be some big SMFer in a drill sergeant's house, and he'll say, hey, you dig me a hole from sunrise to sunset, and at sunset when you say you're done, he'll say, no, you're not done. You fill it back up. When you ask why, he'll say, because I said so. And then he'll say, you see that pile of rocks? Move it over there. And when you move it over there, he'll say, I thought I liked it better in the first place. Move it back. And you'll say why. And he'll say, because I said so.
Get on your knees. Come
exactly.
back.
I said, I will send you there in the middle of the desert tomorrow morning. Now put your pants on and go to church. And Gretchen said, you know what? That's too much. I don't feel like going to church now. So that's what it was.
Well, to contrast, I crapped I love you in uppercase before I left.
In uppercase?
Yeah, I left it in the entry hall. I only crap in uppercase.
By the way, there's 5 I love you letters in my house running down the stairs this morning.
Caesar?
Yes.
Danny, please do not break up with Gretchen.
Please,
I'm trying
Danny,
not
please.
To. This is not my
Gretchen,
option, dude.
If you're listening, please don't break up with Danny.
Give him another chance.
Caesar?
Not a chance. I didn't do this one. I'm sober and good.
Caesar?
She said help. That was my help.
I know. I think the ultimate problem is I would say to Gretchen, do not break up with Danny. You'll never find another man who loves you this way. And she'd go, good.
That's the problem.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Caesar?
Yes.
You want to talk about anime porn?
Yes. First of all, I just wanted to say I love you guys. I listen to you guys every day coming, going to work.
Thank you, Caesar. Sweet. All hail, Caesar.
Yeah.
What's up?
I just wanted to say how I'm a big anime fan and everything, and how you guys are talking about like the whole, the sexual version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is like, that thing is pretty big as it is right now. Because, you know, like that, it's also like the perm version of it, which is known as hentai. I don't know if you guys were aware of that or not.
Yeah.
I know. I didn't know that.
It's an, if I'm not mistaken, are you talking about the art of tying?
No. Which actually that means, which what I found out was that hentai means pervert, you know, in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the hentai, the Japanese sexual art of tying knots, which can take 7 hours to tie a girl, and it's an art form, mm-hmm. and it's an amazing thing to see. It seems like kind of a drag. They're tied up and you can't do much.
Right.
But, I mean, it's the knot form of tying a naked woman up is a big art form in Japan.
Hmm.
Wow, I didn't know that. I mean, to be honest with you.
Caesar, I saw something. I don't know if I was watching Showtime or HBO or something, but it was advertising some anime thing coming up, and it was very provocatively drawn. And I must say, like I said, I don't like anime. And then I saw one with huge knockers in a bikini, and I thought, oh, all right.
Did you like Betty and Veronica when you were a kid from Archie?
No,
but I loved Shira, Lord of the Jungle. I'm sad to say. And it is amazing how stupid we are as human beings, or how easy we are, I should say, as males, not as human beings.
No, males are stupid.
I worked on Drawn Together, an animated show on Comedy Central for 3 seasons, and one of the characters on Drawn Together was Foxy Love, which was a busty, beautiful, hot black chick, and there's nothing better to me than a busty, beautiful, hot black chick. And I used to do voiceovers with, and they would show me, you know, I'd be doing it, and I would see Foxy Love up there, a drawing, and it was arousing.
Yeah.
Like, it was exciting. Guys.
I thought Jessica Rabbit was hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Betty Boop was cute.
All right, Caesar.
Yeah, perverted.
Yes.
Where are you heading?
Right now, I just showed up at work right here.
Now, what are you doing? What kind of work?
I'm an estimator. I work right by Van Nuys Airport.
Oh, man, the garden variety, the garden city of the Valley, Van Nuys Airport. And what do you estimate?
Well, for custom parts, you know, custom manufacturing, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So if somebody wants to have something fabricated and you say, it'll be probably running between $500 and $700.
Well, it'll be piece price, actually. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on what it is, though.
So. All right. Good times there, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, guys, and love you guys, man.
Love you. I appreciate that.
All right. Let's talk to one more. Let's see. Japan, anime, porn, anime gets a bad rap. Anime is more entertaining than TV in the U.S. Let's talk to Benji from Vegas. Benji?
Yeah.
Quickly, my brother. You say anime more entertaining than television.
I honestly find it a lot more entertaining than a lot of TV out there.
Be honest. Have you ever pleasured yourself to an anime drawing?
No.
Really? I have. I've lost all respect for you.
Wish you weren't a liar. I last night to something called Unnatural was the name of it.
Was it a photograph?
No, it was just people. It was a porno. Mm-hmm. But I bought Gretchen that rabbit thing I told you about. It was $115.
Mm-hmm.
And they said with a $100 purchase, you get this stack. And they gave me a stack of 15 pornos.
I know.
And it's mostly one guy doing it with one girl. And they're totally normal. But there's one in the middle called Abnormal.
Unnatural or Abnormal?
I'm sorry, Unnatural. I'll bring it in if you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's they're mean to the girl. They say bad, like not nice bad stuff, like bad stuff. And then there's outtakes of like the girl saying, please, I can't take that. You're choking me too hard.
What?
Yeah.
I'll be here tomorrow, Adam.
Thank you. Please. As a matter of fact, if you could just go grab
right
that
now,
right now.
Can you hang for an hour? Got me?
I think we can manage. We'll leave right at the front of the commercial break. You'll be back by 8 o'clock. Benji?
Yeah.
All right. So what do you like to watch? You never watch any anime porn?
No, I've seen it. I've also gone to a bunch of conventions, and
those are bitchin'.
Now, are there any hot chicks other than the ones that are hired to be at the convention?
Because they go crazy with
those
outfits.
Those are the ones that like to wear the skimpiest outfits possible.
Dude, can you do me a favor?
I'm turning the corner here.
I have a screen here.
Benji,
will you do me a favor? Because I've tried my best. I paint a pretty good picture, but I work here, and it's my job to paint a pretty good picture. Could you try and tell Adam and Teresa, either compared to a Trekkie thing or just in general, what an anime convention is like? Because you guys can't get it no matter what, I don't think. Maybe if Benji is a regular guy that will tell you what he saw, will make you think, I got to see it. I got to go next year. And we'll take my daughter. We'll make it like a day out with the show. She'll love it.
Done and done.
That'd be great because you guys really should. It's a thing to miss that you'd go, I shouldn't have missed that one. That was popular. That's the weirdest thing. How'd I miss it?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what it's like.
It's It is bizarre, to say the least. There is Japanese stuff all over the place. There are people dressed...
Weapons, and hot chicks that are not employed by the convention, that are showing up in skimpy outfits.
And I don't mean to be a perv, they're also 12 and up.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of guy am I going to meet at this convention?
You know what? Some of these guys, if you look hard enough, are artsy-fartsy, but most of them will be freaks.
You ever see The Simpsons?
Yeah.
The guy who runs the comic book store?
Yeah.
That, but a little heavier.
I'll miss that day.
All right.
Hey, Ben, I consider myself a nerd.
Go to Anime Expo.
All right.
That's the one.
In L.A. It should be a lot of fun.
I'm there. First, I got to go to my Furby convention. And then I'll get right out of my troll outfit and right over to Anime Expo.
I can see that being fun. I actually find geeks pretty sexy.
It's more than that because it's so overwhelming. They're not just geeks. They're an army of geeks. They sell weapons, and they're made up with hair that is teased 5 feet high and drag several feet behind them on the ground, and people respect that and don't step on and pull it off because they know that character has hair that drags 5 feet behind them.
I saw the sign from the freeway when I was passing the convention center last year. It said, not just for geeks anymore, geeks and nerds.
Also welcome.
Right. That's right. All right, let's stop making fun of Bald Brian's ilk. Let's talk about the news. What's coming up in it, T?
Well, kind of a shock on American Idol last night. We'll talk about that. A very sad show business death to do with the movie A Christmas Story.
Ooh.
And, come on already, no, don't change positions. Work is getting me down. I'm the luckiest girl in the world. And other things women think during sex.
Wow. I've never had that last one. But
my girl thinks, well, I can't believe I only charged him 40.
Well, a study's actually broken down exactly what women are thinking. I'll tell you what it is.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Yes, this is Jack Silver still holding for Mr. D's. Yes, I'll continue to wait. Oh, hey, what's up, peeps? Jackman's on the other line working on his Outbook August guest. I could really use 10 grand of the Ace Man's money. Do people have any idea how much Valtrex $10,000 can buy? Def Frat Guy's going to be here to tell us about his spring break. And the Ace Man will give out some custom stripograms to all you single broads. Unless you're a fat chick, of course. In that case, send a full body shot to myspace.com/silverisgold. And the Jackman will laminate it for you.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show.
Alrighty, well, we got a lot of show to go, so let's get to it, starting with the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter, on this station right now.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair has welcomed home 15 British service members who were held captive in Iran for nearly the past 2 weeks. He reiterated this morning that no diplomatic deals were done to secure their release. And he took the opportunity this morning to say that the UK's strategy of pursuing bilateral dialogue while mobilizing international pressure had worked, and that the crisis had opened up, quote, new channels of communication. But he didn't go without saying something negative about Iran. Here is Tony Blair this morning.
The general picture, as I've said before, is that there are elements, at least, of the Iranian regime that are backing, financing, arming, supporting terrorism in Iraq.
You know, I feel like the entire Middle East has become some rowdy. It's like we're all living in a nice, peaceful neighborhood and everyone has manicured lawns and everyone takes care of their kids and pays their taxes and has a dog and loves Jesus. And some bikers move. They rent a house. They don't own it. They rent it. And they're at the end of the cul-de-sac. And they're always going up and down the street. And they're hogs. And they have the baffle taken out of the exhaust. So it wakes you up at all hours of the night. And they're throwing parties. And they got a sofa out on the lawn. And
cars
they got
up on blocks.
El Camino's up on blocks. And it's rusting out. And their dog constantly gets loose and bites your dog. And we all just kind of live with it. And once in a while, we have a little town meeting where we want to know what we're going to do with these bikers that live down the street and are ruining our neighborhood. But we just think in terms of containing them, perhaps if we're friendly to them. But once in a while, we go over there with some cookies and our wife gets raped and thrown back onto our doorstep. But we think we should burn that house down. And then someone says, no, let cooler heads prevail. But either way, I now realize that I will go through my entire life thinking about the Middle East situation, and that'll be probably the last thing I think about before I die. If you go back and watch the news, I always say this, and it's very funny, and I don't say the news. Go watch Saturday Night Live. Go watch Chevy Chase deliver the news circa 1976, more than 30 years ago, kiddies, for those of you who are doing the math. And his first story every night will be trouble in the Middle East, right. Jimmy Carter, this or that. Trouble in the Middle East, trouble in the Middle East. I know more about that armpit, that ashtray. I know more about that place than I ever thought or dreamt in my wildest nightmares I would ever know. Who knew that we would think on average about the Middle East? You know, they do those studies where they go, the average male thinks about sex 2,600 times a day. Bonaducci put three zeros behind the 2,600. I don't like what you're thinking about right now, Bonaducci.
Oh, my God, you know.
Point is, he's now combined them. He's slowly taking a burqa off and getting into. The point is I probably think about the Middle East 1,400 times a day, and it's been that way for the last 20 years. I want someone to put a shop vac in my ear and suck my brain out. I can't take any more Middle East. I can't stand the thought of that we're obsessing over it, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Well, you just jump back another 2,000 years, and you've got the historian, I forget his name, the Roman historian, and he'll be yelling, trouble in the Middle East, in the middle of town.
Yeah, yes. Especially it's weird when it's Iranian hostage crisis. That sounds especially familiar.
Yeah, it seems I remember that when I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. First, let's get off the oil. And secondly, let's get off the oil. And let's do the top 10, get off the oil. And that is the first mode of business. Why we did not start on this in 1972, full guns blazing, well, makes me think a little bit of a conspiracy. And big oil and government and back pockets and all that good stuff. But the point is let's just get off the oil and then let's talk about the Netherlands or something.
Right, I know. Only slightly uplifting that Ahmadinejad and Tony Blair were able to come to some kind of agreement without violence. Slightly uplifting.
Yeah, but if it... All right. You know, look, either if it's going to come to violence, it's just got to come to full violence or no violence. This sort of thing where we're strategically and surgically trying to do everything. Right. It just prolongs.
And of course, at the same time, this morning, very sadly, there were 4 deaths in Iraq. British soldiers died today. So as they were rejoicing their sailors coming home, 4 British soldiers died. Very sad. And closer to home, a death of a very beloved Hollywood director. You might not know him by name. His name is Bob Clark. Mm-hmm. He directed A Christmas Story and, of course, the first 2 Porky's flicks, best known for A Christmas Story. Take a listen.
I want an official Red Ryder Cup in action 2-inch at Wayne's Ball Arrow.
No. Shoot your eye out.
One of the most famous lines in an American movie. Everyone knows you'll shoot your eye out. Well, this director...
I've never seen it.
Really?
And I know that line.
Yeah.
This director was killed by a drunk driver who smashed his SUV into Bob Clark's car on the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, at 2:30 a.m. yesterday morning. He was 67 years old, and his 22-year-old son was also killed in the crash.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a tragedy.
Jeez, I didn't even hear about this.
Yeah, very, very sad story.
I wonder if it was a head-on, must have been a head-on collision.
Yeah, it's hard to tell from the reports, but they just say that his SUV smashed into his car on the PCH. Is that one lane each way?
No, it's 2, but sometimes it goes down to 1. But it's a weird highway, and it is probably traveled drunk. We'll ask Mel Gibson.
Right.
Per mile, there's more booze on that highway than any stretch of the Autobahn.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on
during Oktoberfest, because everyone just shows up and gets loaded at those beach bars and then they head back on PCA.
No.
And there's no.
I did it on the way home from rehab.
There's no division. Yeah, it's also.
I'm not kidding.
It's also every rehab is reached via PCH. So it's either someone on the way swerving on the way to rehab, or it's Bonaducci looking hard for fix on his way to Duke's on the way out.
The short version, they would take us past Duke's every Wednesday night to Duke's is the most civilized bar in the world because you can still smoke outdoors and order drinks and food. And they would pass that bar twice a night. Take us to and from a meeting. And they let me out after 40 G's, and guess where I went?
Right
to
straight to
Duke's for a smoke and a shot.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I look for in a bar. I look for either a longboard out on the... When I see that longboard, that means I'm going to get loaded in that place. Or, better even than the longboard, no windows. No windows. means there's nudity or there's debauchery or there's something good. So what you look for, and the greatest combination would be a longboard with no windows.
See, no, the greatest combination is a big van with no windows. Mm. Kind of primer gray.
Yeah.
Got
yeah,
it.
Really that's where you get your work done. Yeah, well, sad.
Yes,
PCH.
Very sad. Well, the window has shut.
PCH, for those, sorry, who are also not
it's
in
a
this,
new kind of drug we take out
market,
here.
Is
PCP.
The last guy that crashed the Enzo Ferrari, the $1.5 million Ferrari, was traveling 160 miles an hour on PCH and in the wee hours of the morning.
Right.
Once again.
And as you said, Mel Gibson was also pulled over there when he was drunk driving.
Right.
The Sanjaya Express continues to roll on.
Yes.
He was not even in the bottom three.
Well, not
last
in the
night.
Bottom three suggests that whatever's going on is working with him.
Yes, absolutely. Whatever, voteforthewurst.com, Howard Stern support, whoever,
right.
It's working.
The bottom three is the three that got the least votes.
Yes, and here's who.
And this is the second week he's not been, or the third week
absolutely.
He's not in the bottom. So if
he's
you're not in the bottom three and 3-4 weeks has gone by, you're not close to in danger.
Absolutely. It seems unlikely he will be voted off next week. The bottom three contained Gina Glockson, the rocker girl, Phil Stacy, the bald guy, and Haley Scarnato, the sexy pageant-looking girl. Mm. And here is what happened.
America voted. After the highest vote so far this season, just under 33 million votes, Haley, you're staying for another week.
That means Gina Glockson went home.
I was watching and feeling sorry for the chicks. Like, everyone always feels sorry for Seacrest because he's a short guy. And when the guys stand up there, it makes Seacrest look short. But I feel sorry for the women because Seacrest is not only a short guy, but he has a face like an angelfish. Like it's four, his ears are like 4 inches apart.
Ellen DeGeneres and Logan Venimo.
He has a very narrow, small head. Looks good on camera because when the camera adds 10 pounds to your cabeza, you look like a melon head. He has a very small head. He's small. He's symmetrical, but he's compact. Now, when you're a chick and you're 5'8 and you're taller than Seacrest and you're normal size and you're wearing something sleeveless, you just look like a huge ogre standing right next to this man who, when you look at him, oh, this guy's 6'2 and in good shape. So I feel sorry for the chicks. Now imagine you're one of these heavyset black chicks and you have to stand next to this lawn dwarf. You're standing next to him and it's all perspective. If you're a chick and you're standing next to Penn Jillette, well, then you look petite.
Right.
And if you're standing next to Ryan Seacrest, you look like a behemoth.
Yes,
and
the regular-looking girl.
You look frightened.
And you're dying of secondhand smoke.
But the other thing is, I never thought of this, Adam. If I go out all day, like yesterday I was at the Grove because there's a Palm store for my phone. I didn't know they had that. I have GPS on that today.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Very
I just
cool.
Did it for, it's really cool. But anyway, he said it'll take an hour. So I was walking around the Grove. Remember what I was wearing yesterday?
Yeah, the red pants. Bright red pants.
With jewelry, with chains.
Surprised you weren't attacked by a bull.
Me too, but I, like, everybody, it was like, please, look at me, look at me, look at me. So I was so embarrassed anyway. But I'm walking around there, and I'm shorter than most women, especially in their heels. And often they crouch down to make them feel more comfortable. I say, I'm aware I'm short. You can stand back up.
Taking a picture.
But I never realized that might be about them not wanting to look taller than me. I never thought that.
Well,
I always thought that was them trying to be polite to me.
I was just thinking, you've often said that Gretchen, your lovely possible ex-wife, is a size zero.
I hope not, by the way.
Size zero and a
petite. Size zero drips off her.
A petite woman. If she was a big gal, if she was just big bone, forget about fat, and she's walking around with you, she's going to look that much bigger.
Right.
These chicks on camera, where you just see their Adam's apple standing next to Seacrest and their arms wearing the sleeveless thing, which look a little bigger on TV, they just seem bigger, beefier, and chunkier standing next to Seacrest.
Yeah, it's true. Relativity is not your friend when you're standing next to Ryan Seacrest. Now, meanwhile, Men's Health magazine polled 225 women and asked them what is going through their mind while they're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Some very interesting answers.
Mm.
80% of the time.
If it's with Bonaducci, it's a crocheting needle.
80% of the time. Mm-hmm. They said what's going through their mind is, here you go, fatty. Why don't you do a couple sit-ups? I was sure it was going to be I'm a lonely soul.
Oh, let's hear that one. All right.
Okay. 80% of the time, what's going through their mind is...
What is with the Jew?
80% of their mind time, what's going through their mind during
what's
sex...
What's it going to take to get you into my pants?
What's really going through their... What's really going through their mind is the following. Just keep doing that. Now, here's... You guys mix it up a lot.
That's the prevalent one.
Yeah,
that's,
so there's are many more. You want to hear
just,
some...
Just keep going.
Can I tell you real quick
just
on that
keep
one?
Doing
that's
that.
Not sex.
Mm-hmm. No, it's both. Because you can
no,
be
you
in
get
a good
the right spot.
Spot
and a girl say, no, don't stop doing
yeah,
that.
Just keep doing that. Sometimes it's like if you have a good pitch and you're a pitcher, keep throwing that. Don't feel you have
now,
to change it.
Now you're a catcher, as I understand it.
Here are some of the other thoughts. 70% of the time, oh, this is nice. She's thinking, all I've ever wanted to do is be able to dirty talk and moan. 70% of the time, she's thinking, I could stay here forever. 30.
Well, wait a minute. 70% of the time she's thinking that, and 80% of the time she's thinking just
it's
don't.
Not out of 100, I guess. They,
oh, okay.
They,
okay.
That's
all
not
right.
how they did their
so
poll.
So that's good.
30% of the time she's thinking, has he put on a few pounds?
Ooh.
70% of the time he remembered what I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a good
for
one.
Me to
so
leave.
Take a note.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is an interesting one. I am a lonely soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's 99% of the time for me. He's the luckiest guy in the world is a common thought that women have. Or I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
Hmm.
Now, here's one that happens 20% of the time.
Mm.
Work is getting me down. And did I load the dryer?
Mm-hmm. Well, she has no job in a maid, so that one...
And half the time, oh no, already?
That, did I load the dryer is just a euphemism for a sexual position.
Oh,
I don't
want
to get into it,
right.
But I will once in a while go.
Fluff it, yeah.
Is it time to clean the lint trap?
Did you leave a sock? I'm really tired.
Hold on, that's the snuggle bag. Get in here, buddy. Oh, he's low in battery? Okay. Yeah, go.
Fabric softener now.
Is it okay to soften?
Come on already is a common one, and I'm really tired. Goes through her head 30%.
See, I would have thought come on already would be higher up on the list.
I wonder how they even
Gretchen says come on
this.
Already before I get home. Like on the car. Are you done? Dude, I'm not at the house yet. What if I talk dirty to you?
In your mind, you should see the cue that Adam gives us, the helicopter, when it's time to wrap
yeah,
up.
Let's get it going.
You know how I know she's done?
Mm.
For
tap out.
I'm looking at the back of her head.
Mm-hmm.
She closes the book she's reading,
mm-hmm.
and she looks at me like, are you kidding still? And that's the signal.
She doesn't really read during.
Several times she has me, so I made a big deal out of it, because this was a big fight. We had this big fight and about how she wasn't in the mood, and I said, if it was painful, is it painful? She said, no. I said, when you say you don't enjoy it, does that mean you unenjoy it? Like, it's awful for you? No. And I said, then you should just do it because I need it and want it so badly. I don't care if you read during it. You don't have to like it.
Mm-hmm.
So she called my bluff one time and had a book hidden under the pillow, which I thought was hysterical.
Do you remember the book?
No, but one day I brought Anna Karenina and I said, get through that, bitch.
Mm. Wow. More like Crime and Punishment.
Pop off of pop.
Okay, last story. Justin Timberlake had a little something to say about music.
That's the one thing I hate about the music business is that everybody always is so quick to put a label on something. Is it pop music? Is it rock music? Is it hip hop music? To me, there's two kinds of music. There's good and there's bad.
And he should know because here is something that's good. Justin Timberlake's song, Sexy Back.
Yeah, none of us could have ever done this unless we had a Casio.
And we're over 5'6". I couldn't do this one. Mm. When you wear that guy's hat and it comes down like on Midsville.
Now, doesn't this sound like he's just singing it through a broken speaker and then he has some guy sampled in the background and this is cranked out on a computer? Like, you can dig this all you want, but is it a measurement? Is it a yardstick to measure talent? You know what I mean? Like, when I see a guy sit down in a coffee house and pull out an acoustic guitar and belt something out that just melts everybody into their seats, I think, wow, this guy's a talented MF-er. But when I hear this, I think, I bet we could come up with this if we had the right equipment.
Yeah.
Yes?
And 10 producers.
Right. Now, he's a talented guy, but is this an illustration of it?
No, it's not.
And you even sit down.
Commercial.
I don't even believe you sit down and write this song. I think you just collaborate with a bunch of weed and a bunch of brothers, and you sit in a studio and you push some potentiometers and slide some things around, and next thing you know, you start tacking on and sampling
Here's
and back whatevering, and this is what you get.
You ever have music like this come on with no words, or, yeah, in this case with no words, and all of a sudden I was feeling...
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everybody's kind of rubbing their hands around. So I like to dance just a little bit while we do the show. I think it's fun if I hear the music. And right. I think somebody went, hey, right. I'm bringing sexy. Hey, wait. I'm bringing sexy back. And they went, yeah. And then they all wrote that song in 5 minutes.
That's the way I feel. Like, when you... Oh, I don't know. You guys picture your favorite singer-songwriter when you, whether it's a male or female. I mean, when Tori Amos sits down at the piano and belts out one of these things about being molested, and there's not a dry eye in the house. That's every song she sings. That to me says, wow, this person's got something inside of them, and it just got out all over the keys.
Justin's got something inside of him.
He's
some kind of Steve.
Timbaland.
He's definitely a talented guy. You see him dance
dancer.
And sing and everything, and a great performer. But when you hear that, don't you just go, I could do that? Like when you see a painting, a modern painting, and you go, yeah, I could do that. As opposed to seeing one of the masters.
Is anybody going to give me a real hard time about this? Pollock can bite me. The controlled drip.
Jackson Pollock.
I had a controlled drip once. I had it cured at the doctor's office. I didn't sell it for $20 million.
Well, it's in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
I completely agree. But
mad.
When you look at Rembrandt, you go,
no effing possible way.
Yeah.
You give me 1,000 years, 1,000 paintbrushes, and then 1,000 instructors, and I couldn't come close to that.
Nope.
And then there's the modern art stuff where the guy's selling a 6-foot orb on a 20-foot canvas for $50,000, and you go, I don't know how high you are, Paz, but I feel like I could have crapped that out and the alphabet.
Well, as many women think during sex, I could stay here forever, but I won't. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. CNN.
All right. Deaf frat guy is somewhere. Perhaps he...
Well, he can't hear when you call him.
Maybe got a second DUI for funneling on PCH on the way in. He's running a little bit late. So we're going to hop ahead to something we call Outbook August in April. Mike August, the show's booker. We did this last year. I gave away $10,000 of my money. You can receive the $10,000. You who are one of my family members, you who work for CBS Radio, you who are unemployed, you who have ears and are alive.
You who the drink
could win my $10,000. Kyle, the phone screener, is working on people. Everybody, it's funny. They're playing it close to the vest. But $10,000 is a lot of money. Not to me. I'm literally a millionaire. But to all...
You dick.
All the guys who work here. $10,000 is big bucks.
Can I mention that tomorrow, by 10 o'clock, whoever books the biggest celebrity of this week is going to make $500.
We have decided that people were, as I said, playing it a little bit too close to the vest, thinking they're going to sit on their celebrity until the end of the month. There's no particular strategy in that, but I understand it's sort of human nature. So we're going to offer you an incentive. There will be week winners each week. $500 will be awarded, and you may win the $500 this week and the $10,000 at the end of the week, because it doesn't matter how early or often you get your celebrities in. So we'll get into that next on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, it's put up or shut up time, Mike August.
It's Katie Lang look-alike.
It's Outbook August.
Talent booker to the D-list E.
Bring them on.
You'll get Adam, no shows and phoners.
All right.
You'll all see.
It's talent booker, Mike August.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your job, man. It's your freaking job to do. Kiss my ass, August.
Mike August.
Mike August, you have something to prove.
What do I have to prove?
Well, you lost last time.
Mike August.
$10,000 is going to the person that gets us the best guess.
That person shall be me.
It could be you. So far, it's not looking good. Your last booking was a ficus plant from the lobby. That is our talent booker, Mike August. Those of you who listen to the show know I'm no commie. I believe in incentives, and I see what it does. Oh, I mean, that... Big Tad, no worse employee than Big Tad, really. He is a round mound of lethargy just sitting there. I would rather just have a mascot greet me than Big Ted. He essentially becomes a mascot. He doesn't do any work. He's a work mascot, except for he does the opposite. He doesn't inspire. That's right. We're the Athletics or we're Alabama. Now, either way, they both have an elephant as a mascot. And that's what Big Tad would do. He would sit on his laptop in the kitchen and just check pro wrestling websites the entire day. And those are the days he showed up, except for when I offered $10,000 to book a guest. And then he burnt the midnight, or in his case, whale oil.
Melted down rosy.
And before you knew it, there was Howard Stern. And before you knew it, there was $10,000. And by the way, the only celebrity I do know beside Kimmel is Howard Stern, so it's ironic that I had to pay 10 grand for the one guy. I could have just picked up the phone and called, but either way, I didn't want to keep the money, and I gave it to Big Tad. Well, we're doing another round, and everyone is eligible.
This is weird, because you'll hear, we play things on this radio station. We work for this radio station, another radio station owned by us. You're related to somebody on this show or any other show. I mean, there's a million reasons why you can't win. Because this isn't the station's money, anybody in this room could win. Their brothers could win. I guess, could a guy from another radio station win?
I don't care if Rick Dees drags okay. Rick Dees in here. He's in the running. Rick although Dees I'm not sure if Rick Dees is going to do it.
But, yeah. My question is this, actually, it was about an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's your money, and mm-hmm. you can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like $10,000,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa would probably really like $10,000.
Oh, you know how many lean cuisines that buys?
And Dawson's True. Head would explode with 10 G's.
Literally, because he would do a $9,000 bong load.
Don't believe that for a moment, because I've tried.
Yeah, there are...
I have tried to talk to this man. You guys talked to me such a good game. I said, dude, I'm there. You know what? Corolla hates me. Let's just go get wasted. And he said, I don't do that. It's just an act. So I said...
The part where he says it's just an act is just an act. He's stoned right now.
Maybe I'm shutting back my boy.
Here's my point. If you're one of the Maloof brothers, then 10 grand is meter money. But if you're Dawson or worse yet, even Kyle, phone screener Kyle. Well, let's look at it this way. If you make a ton of money, then $10,000 is a day or a week's pay or whatever it is. If you make no money, it is 6 months pay, possibly more. So it is a big deal. Now we have Eric on line one.
Huh.
Eric?
How you guys doing?
And again, we're giving 500 to the winner of the week to give people incentive to get started early and often. Eric, who is the celebrity you'd like to offer up for Outbook August and April?
His name is Mark, and he is the lead auctioneer for the Barrett Jackson Classic Car Auction.
Well, this is over. This competition is over.
Outbook August.
By the way, when it comes to introducing celebrities, his name is right up there with when people say, what college you going to? Right now, it's never good. It's never good. Yeah, or actually.
Very
right.
Good, Eric.
When you have to preface the celebrity with his name is, that's a bad
sign. Eric's really a fan because he knew about the actually, yep. And he knows that you love the Barrett Jackson.
Second only to the guy from.
Say you guys, without blowing too much smoke up, yeah, I'm a talk show junkie, and you guys are the best thing that's hit radio probably in the last 20 years.
Can we give him the money just for that? I need so much love, and I will buy it.
He is the guy. He's the guy who's at Barrett Jackson, and you want to talk about a loser. Barrett Jackson is the biggest car auction in the world. They take over Phoenix or Flagstone or Scottsdale. They take over Scottsdale, Arizona, and they put a huge tent up, and they Reggie Jackson, you know, auctions off his cars, and that's how it goes. They have 6 hours of programming. Six hours. I punch it in, my TiVo guy gives me the finger. He's like, what the F do you want from me? This is 6 hours.
What does your wife do?
She is with Gretchen and seeing an attorney right now. They're looking for a group rate. The point is I then watch 6 hours of chopped Chevys go over the auction block.
What network is this on?
It's on the Speed Channel. What do you think?
It's on the same channel as my divorce, the Speed Channel. Right. I just talked to my wife outside, and we are having a pretty kind of a fight these days.
Mm-hmm.
But you've now said twice about when Gretchen divorces you or whatever it is, and I just called and she goes, what's he know? What are you telling him?
So
will you tell her that this is kind of a joking around thing that we just fight a lot? Because she thinks I'm calling lawyers and stuff.
Mm. All right, Gretchen. I'm telling you. No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you there's no divorce. Now you tell the gardener to towel off and get back to the yard. No divorce. Believe you me, Eric.
Where would I be, man?
All right.
You're just scraping me up every morning with a sponge. It's time to go to work, Bother G.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing. I don't want to come in here and, you know, people forget about, you know, they worry about the kids. Like, they go, oh, in a divorce, the kids suffer. Screw the kids. What about the co-workers?
Yeah.
You're sitting next to some chick, she's crying for no reason in the middle of some meeting. You're sitting next to some guy, he's boozing, smells of booze.
Possibly relapsing and likes violence as a pastime.
Yeah, the kids are 9. They don't know what the hell's going on.
They'll be calling some black guy daddy later.
Yes, the nanny takes them to school. It's, what about the co-workers? I mean, what about the super funky depression that people slide into, but they can't quit their job, so you have to see this guy sulking the entire time, and then you have to get involved, like, hey man, we're all going out Saturday, you don't want to go, do you? And then you drag him out, but he sulks when you're out, and the chicks are crying, and they're eating themselves to death. We have to work with these people. Forget about the kids.
You're right about everything else. I'll come in sulking, maybe relapse on drugs and die. All that stuff probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But as for they take me out to meet people, Gretchen asked me in all serious one time during a fight. She said, I think I mentioned this. She said, honey, if I died, would you ever marry again? And I said, honey, I would bring a date to your funeral.
That's right.
I can't be alone.
Funeral engagement party.
But then I'd drink myself to death and die and leave Adam Crone. Try to help me with Teresa.
No. Eric.
Thank you.
Yes.
Nice pull for me, but I don't believe Mark Gilman, the auctioneer from the Barrett Jackson auction, is going to do it.
If it takes over 12 minutes to explain who he is.
But I appreciate it. But Bill.
Yes.
Bill has an in. Bill, what do we got here?
Hey, Adam. Well, a guy, he hasn't been known for that long, but actually Barack Obama.
Interesting.
Ooh, get him. That'd be a good one.
That'd be incredible. How do you know Barack Obama?
Just from private personal work with him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good guy?
Yeah, really. Well, come on. It's Barack Obama.
Well, how would you go about it? And the Barack Obama thing is interesting because he's a celebrity. He's a politician. You know his name. I don't know how he stacks up against a movie celebrity or a TV or a singing celebrity. And then
you don't know. You're not saying that, you know, I don't think so. You're saying you really don't know because you've made it pretty clear that a B celeb could beat an A celeb by doing something interesting.
Yeah.
Or an A celeb on the phone could beat a B celeb in the room.
That's the point.
This is very interesting judging that I actually trust you with.
Barack Obama comes on the show, does a quick 5 minutes and out. Maybe that wins you, but I don't think so. But calls.
But Barack is pretty candid.
But he calls Hillary Clinton a diesel dyke, and we got a winner.
And her first toss says, Whitey, you're in.
Well, right. I would argue that Barack Obama, he has best selling books, he's been on Oprah, and he's politically important.
See, but here's what I would argue is I don't care. So, you know, I agree.
Bill, how does this work? Do you shoot a call over to Barack?
Over to a couple of people. That's why I called in, because I didn't know if I actually called a 800-901 Adam, and then I get the, your voicemail is full, and I'm like, well, Barack is waiting. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't know which, if you just call in the regular way or whatever. So
yeah.
I'm trying to call in to get some info.
Kyle types like that bird that's filled with the red liquid tips, like in that Simpson episode. That's what typing sounds like. Chocolate Jesus's penis types faster than Kyle. So that is a problem.
Can you imagine if, you know, those things about Mary were true, the Magdalene and Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine Jesus looking at her and going, sorry, babe, 3 days till it rises again. Sorry.
Possible solution for Bill, can Kyle give him our hotline number so he can get Barack to call back?
Okay, I'm going
to... By the way, I need that too. I don't have ours.
I didn't even know we had one. I'm going to authorize that. So, Bill?
All right, thanks, guys.
We're going to give you the hotline number. You get Barack on the blower.
Sounds good.
All right.
I think he would be the winner for the week, at least.
He would definitely win for the week. Now, that means he has the rest of today and then tomorrow to call in to win the $500 for the week. But he could also win the $10,000 for the month.
Sure.
And I said it's based on what Barack says once he gets on the
phone. How about if I didn't work here? Yes, before I worked here, and Mike brought me in, and I was funny and I was good, and you liked me, because I thought, obviously, you liked me, you wouldn't let me have this job. But if also, while doing it and promoting Breaking Bottaducci, I shot steroids into my sack while screaming at you, does that beat an A-lister?
Your stock,
who just says hi?
Your stock definitely goes up the more outrageous... The outrageous you get.
I'm gonna nominate myself with some weapons.
That was part of the dilemma last time. We talked to Stern for like 20 minutes on the radio. We had a great conversation with him, which was nice, but it was just over the phone. We actually sort of simulcast.
Yeah,
I guess I was on his show at the same time he was on this
part.
One.
That was really nice on his part.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules in showbiz,
you
but
don't do that, yeah.
When it really comes down to it, they're worthless rules. It's just a bunch of people getting paid too much who come up with retarded rules.
You know, I've had DJs like try and wreck my shows and cut cables and come after me like physically, and they don't know whether, you know, I don't take that stuff. I don't think it's a radio gag. I'll come to your house. But disc jockeys are scum.
Yeah, they are. They're normally horrible people, and Stern, who is hated by most,
isn't one of them.
Him and I have always been thick as thieves. And so he was on the show for a good 20 minutes. We had a nice conversation. But then Johnny Knoxville came in here, who's probably not as big a star as Stern, but he put his junk in a mouse trap. And to me,
in the studio.
Yeah, that counts for something. Jeff from Sacramento, what do you got for us?
Hey, I got Carlos Santana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That could be good.
Are you sure you can get him?
Well, my uncle plays in his band. And I've been to his house quite a many times for dinners.
So. Now, I want you to know, if Carlos Santana comes in here and goes prophetic on it, which he has a tendency to do, and doesn't play guitar, I bet he doesn't win. He comes in and jams out one of the great Santana tunes.
Great
and
song.
Now he's heavily involved. But now I'm about Johnny Knoxville. Can you invite yourself? Can I nominate myself as a C-grade celebrity that will do more than any other A-grade celebrity? Can I go get a steak knife and just peg myself to this board right now? And
nice.
Well, let's do it, and then I'll consider it in 23 days.
I want you to know, bastard, you've been fair, but I have a friend years and years and years ago. He's a best friend. We would play cards for big money over the phone. And
he'd
say, I have three jacks. And he'd say, I have two pair, you win.
Wow, I like that.
And we were best friends. We'd
have to take each other's word.
Yeah, we'd never consider lying to each other.
Jeff?
Yo.
Santana could win the week.
Okay.
I don't know that he would beat Barack Obama, depending on what Barack said and what Santana said. And yes, did he dance for us? Did he bring his guitar in, or did he show up with a bad attitude, or did he not show up at all? Was it a crappy phoner?
And can I make a suggestion to Jeff? I feel like Carlos Santana has some charities he likes. What if you offer to split the $10,000 and say, Mr. Santana, you get $5,000 for the charity of your choice if you call in?
That's right. I'd give half of it to his Milagro Foundation.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. By the way,
half black, half white people.
Yes,
Milagro Foundations
have no idea.
No. Yes,
Teresa, I got to tell you that I loved you from when you were on TLC.
Thank you.
And you're doing a great job over there, Danny. You are the man, dude.
Thanks, dude. I really.
I got to tell you, you are the. I loved you when you had your own radio show, and I love you now. And Adam, you're a great. Great takeover for Howard, man.
Thank you, Jeff. Won $10,000, whether Santana shows up or not. As a matter of fact, just bring your brother, who's third conga player in the band, and I'll give you the
$10,000. That's probably very funny and very nice, but when we were down to the Corolla Fanatics and then I came in, the mail to me was so mean and cruel and hurtful. And now I get a lot of, and these are the guys I believe, I really wanted to hate you, but. So I just want you to know that was important. I thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was really hard being the new guy.
Bless you, Jeff from Sacramento. Very kind.
Yeah, and no matter.
And Corolla doesn't care what you feel. He's just rich.
No matter how strong you are and how tough you are and how long you've been in the business, you can only take so many emails that start with that. Bonnet douchebag before you get a little crack in your arm.
Especially when they get to the family or the worst, when they're right. When it is something you know you don't do as well as others and they picked up on it.
It is true.
That kills.
I have read a few, everyone would love it. It's like this. we would all rather get minus 4 stars for whatever work we did or whatever project we had than 1.5. Like, it was okay. Yeah. Not Teresa's best work.
Yes, not good.
Boring in the middle.
The guy was, should I live to 100 years while my family is raked over me? That guy worked hard for the money.
All right, we have one more. Ooh. Chris calling from Las Vegas. Chris?
Good morning.
What do you got for us?
I can get Hulk Hogan on the phone less than 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes from now?
Should we take a break and see if he can do it?
If that's true, I'll kick in extra 500. All right, 5 minutes. Clock's going now.
That's $1,000 on the table if you get
him
in 5 minutes.
804 if he's on the phone by 809.
Yeah, let me explain what the Hulkster on the phone at 809 is going to sound like. Chris talking into a coffee mug going, listen, brothers. All right, you get the Hulkster on the phone. I'm going to shake the dew off the lily. Yeah. And we'll be back with a little more Outbook August in April next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Your chance to win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Outbook August in April.
Mike August books our talent.
The bar is pretty low.
You book a celebrity on the Adam Carolla Show.
We factor in level of celebrity.
Then you factor in level of performance.
Right. Anyone can win.
$10,000.
Even Mike August.
Mike August, you have something to prove.
What do I have to prove?
Well, you lost last time.
Outbook August in April.
It's your job, man!
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Jeff Frack guy's waiting in the wings. Now, when we left off, we're speaking to Chris from Las Vegas. He promised he could get Hulk Hogan in under 5 minutes.
Which was?
That was 7 minutes ago.
$1,000 on the table.
Chris?
Well, I think I've stuck my foot in my mouth, but I did call to be a man about it and not try to pull some, oh, yeah, brother.
You didn't call him a man. You called not to be an idiot.
So you called back after you called Hulk Hogan. You spoke to Hulk Hogan?
Yes. I've been driving a limo for Hulk Hogan in Vegas on and off for like 5 years. We have a pretty good rapport. I called him. I told him. He said, no, I'm not wasting my time with that.
Really?
Oh, I think I've embarrassed myself and I've lost thousands.
Oh, no.
Now, what was the Hulkster doing when you got hold of him? Let's see. He's in Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
Shocking. Shocking.
And,
goodbye.
Danny wants to kick me in the nuts, but
goodbye. I wish people would never have that.
You called the Hulkster at 11 in the morning in Florida, and he said,
the
"What
Viking
exactly?"
Kicking in.
He said, "I don't want to be." I said, "He said, what are you doing?" And I said, "I called the Adam Carolla Show. I can win $1,000 right now if you get on and talk for a couple minutes."
$10,000.
Oh, I told him the potential $10,000. I said, $1,000 a day, potential $10,000.
Right.
They said, I don't want to be bothered with that, and just hung up on me.
Oh.
So,
he didn't call me a puss or anything?
No, he was really kind of like, F you without saying it. And I think I've cost myself a couple grand every time he comes out. So I've really screwed myself.
Yeah, because now, here's the problem. He is one of two things, and maybe both, which is A, he's angry at you, or B, he feels ashamed for kind of being curt and being a dick on the phone. See, if I didn't do business with someone, I wouldn't do business with them for two reasons. Either I don't like them, they're unprofessional, whatever, or last time I had an exchange with them, right, I was an a-hole and I was a little embarrassing. It was a little embarrassing. And now I don't want to show my face because the next time you see him, he's either going to have to yell at you or he's going to have to go, sorry, dude, but I was having a fight with my wife during the time and he kind of caught me to bed, whatever.
Right.
Either way, he doesn't want to see you again.
I'm hoping, I'm sure he thinks because I'm not going to say we're friends and make up a bunch of nonsense, but we were casually cool.
Obviously, please don't undersell it. You guys are like brothers.
Well, Chris, do you drive any other celebrities in Las Vegas who you might have a better relationship?
Yeah, like Roddy Piper or Cactus Jack or the Iron Sheik. Are there any other guys you drive for?
Let me remove my left foot in my mouth and put the right one in there. No. I apologize for wasting your time.
All right, Chris.
Aww, you sound like a nice guy.
You tried.
I like the cut of his jib.
That's all. Yeah. All right. You didn't pick up Bobby the Brain Heenan earlier today or anybody?
Andre the Giant.
Def Rat Guy. Oh,
hell yeah.
Is in this studio.
Hey, Maverick. How you doing?
Let this day, hopefully, the rest of the day will be better than the start of the day.
Oh, you had a rough start this morning?
Mike August did me over, bro.
Mike August screwed you over.
Hell yeah.
Well, what happened? Now, he books the show, but he tells you when to come in, too, right?
I didn't get any text message or nothing.
You got nothing except for a call from Angie wanting to know where you were.
Hell yeah.
I noticed you're wearing a shirt.
This is my new beer bong Darwin shirt.
It's shaped like the fish, except for it says beer bong in the middle and has brilliant. A funnel on the upside of the fish tail. Wow.
It's like the highest evolution or yeah. something. Right.
No, I'm going to be sporting that for Easter over at Kimmel's.
Look, log on to deathfranchise.com and pick it up because it'll make a great Easter gift.
Yeah. No, that is awesome.
And I have them in all the colors of Easter eggs, too. Cardinal red, green, mm-hmm. other colors.
I see. I think there's denim blue.
And you can buy one of those on deaffratguy.com.
I must have one of those.
And it's non-denominational, so you can do it for Passover, too.
We have Mike calling from Ventura. Mike?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How you doing, buddy?
Good. You went to college with Mike August, our booker?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Mike August went to college?
Hey, wait, if I'm not mistaken, he's Ivy League.
No.
No?
No, he's no. Ivy covered from not moving.
No, he's Bush League.
Mike, can you say where you went to college?
Oh, absolutely. Cyprus.
He just can't spell it.
I never heard of it.
He went to a college named after a shrub.
For some reason, I thought he'd gone to Harvard or something.
His shrub league.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, he
was... That's all Greek to me.
So did you know Mike?
He knows I'm not lying. Is he there right now? He knows I'm not lying. He's got a brother, Rob, too. Actually, the brother, Rob's a pretty good guy.
Did you know Mike when you went to college?
Oh, yeah, Mike? I used to work out with him. I actually went out and hung out with him a couple times.
Yeah, he's a good guy until you get to know him. Yeah.
What insights do you have on him?
He was a little bit. He was working at K Rock, I think, back then. Adam, you were the woodshop teacher. Well, that was
Mr. Burcham.
Funny back in the day. We used to call in. That was just a riot.
Yeah, I remember back that? In the day when I used to be funny too. Yeah. I forget those days. I should call into this show so it would be funny.
Mike used to copy.
Hold on, I'm going to go to the next room and call in. Hey, I don't remember Mike being over at K Rock. Are you sure you're talking about this? I gotta find out.
I know he was an agent. He was a William Morris agent.
Maybe that was it. Anyway, listen, Mike on Mike is boring the crap out of me, offering no insights. He went to Cypress College. We'll have to check that. Mike August went to like 28 colleges.
Yeah, he's
so
a lawyer.
Where was it? Lost Boys. Last night, the vampire movie with Kiefer Sutherland, one of my favorite movies, and Dante watched it 4 times in a row. I went to UC Santa Cruz for 3 hours. That's my record for being.
Oh, you went to college there.
Your banana slug for 3 hours. Yep. Deaf rat guy. You.
USD, or I mean, UC Santa Cruz, they may not be the biggest beer drinkers in the world, but they will kick your ass in bong hit games.
Yeah, uh-huh. And shrooms, too.
So they're known for their bud work. All right. Deaf rat guy, we need to take a break. When we come back, what do you have to offer up?
I have something that will shock you in the outbooking Mike August content.
A revelation from Deaf Rat Guy.
Oh, and beer bong keychains are in.
Oh, there you have more. I see. Because you guys, you had a run on them, I think, sometime last year, and you ran out of the beer bong keychain. Now that's in at deafratguy.com.
They also work for coffee if you're late.
Sure.
Right. I gotta say, I like the beer bong keychain, but I love the beer bong Darwin t-shirt. I'm going to get one of those. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Deaf Rat Guy next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Maverick's his name, and booze ends his game. He says if you're not wasted, you're wasting your day. Moose is gay. And Ashley's shaved down below. He'll funnel all night and call everybody bro. He's a frat guy. A potato gun he'll buy. He's Maverick. Maverick. The deaf frat guy. Maverick. Maverick. The deaf.
Is in studio.
Hell yeah.
I know you have a bomb to drop in your Outbook August and April competition. You want that 10 grand as much as the next guy. And then we'll talk a little spring break because that's upon us now. So first, Outbook August. What do you have, Mav?
Oh, not too much. just a little guy by the name of Orenthal James Simpson.
Now, you guys both, well, I was going to say USC alum, but you're going into your seventh season.
He's one of the most famous alums ever to come out of SC.
Right. You're one of the most famous to always remain at USC. You have a connection to O.J. Simpson?
Hell yeah. We both went to SC.
Right.
And we love, well, yeah, basically. I mean, look. He's not going to do it because we're both SD students.
Right.
Look, I can get in touch with the man.
Well, it doesn't sound like you have a direct connection to OJ.
I have the OJ is in the alumni directory.
Is he? I don't know. He's living in Florida now, isn't he?
Bro.
I think him and the Holster have a tea time at noon today.
He's an SD alum.
All right.
So Adam is going to be sitting a couple feet away from him in a couple months. So you better hurry.
Yes.
Well, you want to hear the real connect to the Jews?
Mm.
To the Jews?
The Jews. The Jews.
Oh, sorry, man.
Sound like Jews.
I did.
Maybe Pucci's uncle might be a golf partner of his.
Maybe, you're saying. Now, Pucci's uncle is the guy who worked in radio for 20 years and said this show was overproduced.
He said that in the beginning, but now he's in his great danger of being underproduced.
But he worked on the sales side, right. To be fair.
Yeah.
But he knows he knows radio, and he's always saying that like Danny needs to step back.
Mm-hmm. And didn't he also say...
And not one-up people all the time in stories.
One-upper.
Maverick, he also said that Adam had lost his common touch.
Yeah, he lost his touch with the common man because people are driving to their blue-collar jobs and they're really struggling to make ends meet, and you're talking about your Lamborghini.
Well, look, I'm sorry, and possibly it was a story I've told many times, but I listen, shoot me for being honest.
Yeah, me too.
I used to pay for everything in bundles. I didn't know that the money came apart. It just showed up in the big bundles that have, like, I think 100 on the top and maybe 100 on the bottom. It must have been, I don't know, it was like an inch thick, and it was bundles. And I'd buy a pack of gum, pack of smoke, six pack of Zima, and I just pay in a bundle. And when it came time to pay rent or for one of my Lamborghinis or something, I would just pay in a bunch of bundles. And then somebody told me one day, the bundles come apart. And you can buy things with each piece of individual money. And get this, you give them that if you buy something small like gum, and they give you metal money back. And because I was naive and spoke about this on the radio, everyone says, Mr. Carolla looking down his nose at us up on his high horse. I just didn't know the bundles came apart.
You're the only guy that'll have this fight with me, and I'm so glad, because he's telling the truth about it. I get notes about being the one-upmanship. But you'll get, like, we'll tell a story, and somebody will tell a story, and that's my girlfriend pulled a gun on me, and we all flipped out. I go, well, you're lucky, dude, because mine shot me. Mm-hmm. Now, have I now one-upped her, or have I told the story that I've been shot by an angry girl? It's my life. It's different from yours. It doesn't top yours. I just got the trigger pulled.
I think it tops it.
Should I just keep it to myself?
Maverick, what do you want Danny to do?
Lead a less interesting life?
It's not Maverick. It's Poochie's uncle.
Well, speaking for Poochie's uncle.
Poochie's uncle says that you need to, like, let the person finish their story and just be, like, mellow about it. Don't butt in.
Mellow. That's my middle name. Danny Mellow Bonaducci.
And, bro, don't take this the wrong way, dude.
Okay.
He called you a Budinsky.
I'll try not to take that the hard way.
I was told by program director to stop talking about flying first class, so I started talking about flying in corporate private jets, right. And he said, no. And I said, well, what do you want me to say? I'm flying with Richard Branson in his dirigible? I can't do better than that. And he said, no, you go the other way.
Yeah.
Make people think you're poor. And I threw a bundle right at his head. I said, take that.
I think Maverick could really use this $10,000, right?
I do have student loans to pay off.
Right.
You know what? Maybe if you were to listen to your Uncle Poochie's advice, Then you'd be sitting in Corolla's seat.
He's not my uncle, dude. He's your caddy. Poochie's a really good guy.
He's OJ's caddy. He's Poochie's uncle who worked on the sales side of Radio Free. Look, not I don't want to get mine.
Caddy,
and this isn't about Poochie's uncle.
This is fine
advice.
You
get OJ on the show, and there is a very good chance you're going to get that $10,000.
And you get yourself out of college, and there'll be a very good chance you get a job.
That's right.
Dude, I would have a job if you didn't take it from me.
All right. That's what this Poochie's uncle stuff.
I didn't.
That's what it's about.
You walked in the room and he said, "Ooh, let's give it to someone else. It could have been a Brady, dude. You're just not that good."
Oh. You're full of crap, bro.
Maverick does his best.
I think some guy from the Wonder Years was going to come in here and pretend they had a speech impediment.
Do I have to come in? What do I have to do? Play bass for the monkeys?
Yes, that's what you have to do. That is what you have to do.
Yeah, maybe you would interrupt that if you had a potato up your ass.
Oh,
Do
not brandish the potato gun.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's keep going.
Let's move forward. Let's talk about something happy like spring break.
Poochie,
I'm
yes.
actually very happy. This is fun. This is my favorite kind of stuff to do.
This is uncomfortable. It's just...
not for me, because I'm going back to the mansion.
You're taking beer out of my mouth.
Dude, you got me there. Because I always say I'm taking food off my table. You got me there, and I feel bad if I did
You're
that.
You're taking beer out of his bong.
I feel bad about that.
All right.
Six are right after the show.
Def Rat Guy, quickly.
I'll shoot something. Yeah,
yeah. What's going on? What are you doing for spring break? You going to Havasu this year? What do you got on the docket?
This spring break marks the 1 year anniversary of an event that will live in infamy.
You're talking about Havasu last year?
No, yeah, I'm talking to you, baby. And I know you're out there listening.
The gypsies?
To the gypsies.
Mm.
Go find some other sucker.
Mm-hmm.
I bought your game, hook, line, and sinker.
They fooled you guys last year in Havasu.
Hook, line, and sinker?
They took everything. Wallet, cell phone, pagers.
Well, you thought they were exchange students.
They said they were exchange students from, like... the Czech Republic or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was common Romanian gypsies.
They exchanged your checks for nothing and then cashed them. That's what kind of checks they were.
So they stole your money and they get everything?
Hell yeah, they got everything. They even stole a studded condom out of Moose's wallet.
No.
It's been a year. Has
that
there
was
been
his
any,
lucky rubber.
Has there been any sign of them in the year that's gone by?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to find... Maybe you'll go to Panama City this year,
mm-hmm.
or South Padre,
mm-hmm.
maybe even Cancun,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find some other sucker. But listen to me right now, you dog. You have nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide, baby. We're going to hunt you down. Where are you going to go?
Well, it's been a whole year.
End of the line, sweetheart.
All right. So you're saying you
game over.
You think now you figure, Maverick, that these guys, these gypsies
Trans
that robbed you guys. Yeah, you guys had a nice night with them. You're cracking beers. You're having a good time. You thought this was going to lead to a night of love. You woke up the next morning hungover to find cell phones, pagers, wallets all gone. They cleaned you guys out. You figure these guys are going to surface again during spring break. Maybe they lay low during the year, but spring break is where they come out and they prey on their victims.
And you see their shadow at six more weeks of winter.
And I will know one of them because they had one of those teeth sticking out of the gum.
Jewel?
Oh, yeah.
The higher tooth.
Uh-huh. Right. So when you find that, it doesn't matter. You can wear a wig, you can put weight on, but if you got that snaggle tooth, Mav is going to find you.
You just don't expect to be pounding beers 1 minute, the next minute, or maybe pounding beers, and then I only made out with one of them,
mm-hmm. right.
but one of them worked Poochie's bag.
Oh, no.
Dude, is this completely novel for everyone else to be? Have you never been rolled by chicks while you're making out with one and the other one took all your stuff?
Just when you think that they're sorority sisters from a different country and it turns out they're gypsies on the make.
Yes.
Yeah,
taking advantage of these poor fraternity guys just trying to have fun.
You don't empty Pooch's bag and then his wallet in the same trip. That's just, you just don't do that.
No, you know what, lady? Fool me once, shame on me.
Right.
But fool me twice, shame on you.
Mm. All right. Okay. So you got work to do.
Third time.
You're
sure
going after. You're going to turn into a gypsy hunter this year, spring break.
Yeah, to catch a gypsy.
Exactly. Or yeah, hell yeah.
We need to take a break. If you want one of those T-shirts, and man, what are those things retailing for? Because I know you're not going to give me one, but I would love to purchase one.
No, bro, I'll give you one, and I know how much. I know that last year for you, the beer bong keychain made a perfect stocking stuffer.
Right.
But look. For Easter, these are going for $15.
Mm-hmm.
The T-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus $5 shipping and handling.
Do you know what the keychain beer bong looks like? A condom for the Tin Man. It's almost exactly what it looks like.
I guess if you, you know, if... Like, if you were in a pinch, you could maybe use it at that.
Right. So, defratguy.com is where you go. I'm going to give you a bundle right now, and you just give me one of those shirts.
Hell yeah. I also have ones that say, if you're not wasted, the day is.
Oh, well, I'll, give you two, I'll give you two bundles. So take both.
Hell yeah.
Take a quick break. When we come back, we need you, ladies. It is time for the custom stripogram. 866-901-ADAM. You call up. Give us your personal information, and I will make a custom tailor-made stripogram for you in real time next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Deaf Frat Guy. Today's topic, fake breasts.
Surprisingly, some strippers may find it offensive if you ask how much their rack costs. It's best to just stare politely and keep your curiosity to yourself.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Deaf Frat Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All righty. I'm a little bit hoarse this morning, but I'll try to clear myself so I can deliver to you the custom stripogram.
Step away from the businessman's lunch and grab some singles. Coming to the stage now, it's Stripogram.
Well, let's get started. We have Michelle from Sacramento. Michelle?
Yes?
Let's get the vitals on you, baby doll. Age?
21.
21. Perfect. Occupation?
I'm a graduating senior at Sac State. Mm.
What are you studying, Michelle?
Liberal studies. I'm going to be a teacher.
Mm. Good. Hot. You gonna do that thing where you put your hair in the bun and wear the glasses and then you rip the glasses off and shake your bun out? And what happens if you shake your head and the bun never breaks loose? Do you have to just keep shaking it, put your head in one of those paint can shakers, or do you just go ahead and, you know, go ahead and admit you screwed up and reach up and undo the bun?
My dad wrote a joke much like that in one of his TV scripts. It was Miss Jones, the secretary with the glasses, the bun, and the slow motion. And she takes off the glasses, unpins her hair and shakes her head, and the boss looks at her and goes, "Why, Miss Jones, you're plain."
Oh, really?
Oh, even after she tries to be hot.
That would be the way he keeps getting the Emmys and I keep getting on radio.
Did he punch?
He's dead.
Did he punch you in the face before that or after that?
Oh, both, I'm pretty sure.
During it was literally a punchline.
Everything was a punchline.
All right, Michelle. So, student, yes? Yeah. And I'm sorry, what was your field of studies?
Liberal studies.
Liberal studies.
Yeah, studying to be a teacher.
All right. I'm sure you're going to get rich.
Michelle, can you describe yourself briefly, what you look like?
I'm about 5'7", tall, thin, dark hair.
Sweet.
Big eyes.
Sweet. And the kind of suit. Look like anime. I like that. Hobbies.
Hobbies. I don't know. Hanging out, I guess, with my friends a lot. Just trying to enjoy everything before I graduate.
That's weird. I'll tell you what's weird to me. I'll digress for
shaping
a second.
Shaping young minds.
I wish I didn't have to work so I could do my hobbies all day long. I have millions of hobbies. I love my hobbies, and it is the part of life that I enjoy the most. And I only work to support the hobbies.
Right.
I like cars. I like renovating houses. I like all kinds of things that cost all kinds of money, and thus I have to get up in the morning and go to work. The people that don't have hobbies, I would like to assign you a hobby. Like, I talk to people, and I'm like, I guess I like reading. I guess I read periodicals, hanging out, conversation with good friends. Yeah, that, listen,
no,
honey,
no.
Michelle?
Yes.
Building ships in a bottle.
That's
your hobby.
That
is your new hobby. You will officially be the hottest, youngest chick to ever build a ship in a bottle. Guys will go berserk when you say that. They'll never ask any follow-up questions because nobody knows anything about it except for dead people. So you just tell them, I build ships in bottles, and that'll be it.
And by the way, they take the back of the bottle off, build the boat, slip it in, and glue it back on.
That's right.
You ruined it for me. You ruined
Not only am I feel like I'm more informed, but I'm getting horny as well. Major wine.
Well, Michelle, what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a Dodge Neon.
Mm-hmm. Good. There you go. All right. So Dodge. All right. You drive a Dodge. All right. Ready to get started here, Michelle? All right. Just quickly. Michelle, 21, student, liberal arts, driving a Dodge. With no hobbies.
Yeah, we got a teacher. She's teaching at the school. Oh, my buddy. Yeah. Hard Knockers. She's enrolled over at Sac State. You know, I got an opening over in Ball Sac State. I'd like to combine those two. Ball State and Sac State. Dual major. My junk. She drives a Dodge. Dodge this, baby. It's coming right at you. Her hobbies? No hobbies. Technically, a hobby. Brittany, stage four, stage four. Businessman's Lunch. All right.
I feel like just like I walked 10 miles, had a sip of bad tap water, and turned back around.
Yeah, size 9.
That was a good start.
Now, do I hear you make a reference to Balzac in that?
Well, it, kind of. I took Ball State and Sac State. And I combined them.
Very well done.
There is a Ball State, right?
Sure. Yeah, but there's also a Balzac.
In Indiana or something, right?
Balzac, right? And there's a... Just think it'd be funny if you transferred. That'd be the greatest thing ever. What? Where'd you go to college? Well, I was over at Ball, and then I transferred to Sac.
Oh, my God.
So Ball to Sac?
I went to 2 years. I did my undergrad stuff over at Ball
right.
State, and then I went over to Sac.
So two
Ball Sac. Yeah, that's all you'd say. You wouldn't smile. You'd be real straight, and you'd just see what people's faces did the whole time you did it. All right. You know, again, my other plan is to get the nutty neighbor kid from the Facts of Life or whatever it is, Boner.
Oh, yeah.
To combine him with Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard.
Tell you right now. Boner walks in that door, says one funny thing, I'm killing him.
Wait, what show was Boner on?
You think I'm going to come in here someday? I'm going to look at Boner and go, you know my job, man. I was a bad player in the Monkees.
No,
and then they got Boner.
I ain't doing it.
Wait a minute. Now I'm confused. Boner.
You get another has-been in here and I'm leaving.
Oh, okay. Boner is, I guess he was a neighbor from the, what the?
Growing pains. That's right.
I know what it is, but
Skippy,
I always like to humiliate Mike
Skippy's
by having
Skippy's a comedian now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody stands on stage and accepts money.
All right, where the hell were we?
Maggie.
That's right, Maggie. Maggie?
Yeah.
What do you got, baby doll?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a 21-year-old living in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me write this down. Maggie, 21, San Diego. I like the young demo.
I like the name Maggie, too. Maggie, what do you do?
I'm a receptionist at a staffing agency.
Reception. All right. And hobbies?
I crochet.
Oh.
What's wrong
what
with
year
that?
Are you calling from?
No, crocheting is in now.
It is?
Yeah.
It's back?
Julia Roberts
yeah, no,
knits.
Totally, yeah.
Okay.
A lot
right,
of know, you know how I made it back? Because all the people that quit drinking at AA meetings and they just chain smoked, all the celebrity ones started to do stuff with their hands and they all started knitting and then a bunch of celebrities were seen places knitting and it became a thing. Knitting's a full-on thing.
Different from crocheting, but similar.
Yeah, same thing, but eye hooks and all that crap.
There you go. See, you got it.
Yeah. It's the difference between chicks and dudes. If I saw Brad Pitt and George Clooney knitting, I'd be like, F those a-holes. Let's go get some more booze.
I'd throw down a fifth and bone one of them.
Yes. All right.
Maggie, what kind of car do you drive?
2001 Mercury Cougar.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yes. All right. We will say so. Maggie, receptionist at a staff. What?
At a staffing agency, I think they send out temps, right?
Well, yeah, we send out nurses on travel assignments. Oh. It's called Access Nurses.
Okay. Send out traveling nurses.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like this is the plot of a porno?
and you like crocheting.
Drives a cougar.
And you drive a cougar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm gonna stand up for this one because it's gonna take all I got to try to form something out of this, Clay. She's a receptionist at a staffing agency. Hey, by the way, I got a staff with your name on it, baby doll. You ain't a cougar yet, but you sure as hell know how to drive one. Maggie, may I get in your underpants? Change stage 4. Yeah, this is man's lunch. On track.
There
you're back.
Go.
Let's keep the party going. Speaking to Brittany. Brittany is on line 4. Brittany.
Hi, Adam.
Brittany from Fabulous Norwalk.
Yep.
What do you do, Brittany?
I deliver pharmaceuticals to pharmacies.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Pharmaceuticals. You actually take them, yes. Pharmaceutical. I have no idea how that's spelled. Once in a while, my hand gets moving like it knows how to spell, but my brain is retarded, you know? So my hand is like, so what ends up happening? It's like, pharmaceutical rep. All right. And my hand goes, got it, boss. And my hand starts moving. And then my brain goes, are you high? Hey, hand. Note to hand, you don't know how to spell, and I sure as hell don't. So stop. We got to put that on the website.
What is it? Did you sound it out? F-A-R?
No, I did. I started with a P-H.
That's good.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
And then I got an A.
That's good.
And my hand started to slow down a little, and I saw my thumb looking at my brain going, And then it said, all right, it got the R, and then it started to lose confidence and momentum, and then it's just a sort of, it's a Richter scale after that. It's just a line of bumps. It sort of, it looks like an ohm meter at that point. See, it really looks like oscilloscope after the F-P-H-A. Yeah, just in my hand. But once in a while, I'll do that. My hand will go, oh yeah! Once in a while, your mouth will do that, too. Like, they'll go, hey, do you know that guy? And your mouth just flies up. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. And then your brain goes, you do? Because I don't. I don't mouth. But go ahead. I'll be. And my brain folds its arms, and it stands back and goes, this should be interesting.
Good luck.
Go ahead and write pharmaceutical hand.
Good luck, hand.
Well, I'm sure you've had this happen to you where people have come up and said, hi, how are you? And you've either, A, acted like you didn't know them and they're fans and it was nice to meet them, or B, that you knew them from somewhere else and you acted all friendly and neither case were true.
Right.
So now I act like I know everybody and go, have you been, man? Because how have you been is not a declaration. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they'll just go, oh, we've never met. And then they think you're all that. It's like, so yes. You're just trying to be cool.
I have done the good to meet you on people I've met three times. I did it to Janine Garofalo once. She did the TV show and the radio show. And
I
said, nice. Nice to meet you. Brittany's
on the phone. Brittany, do you drive a large delivery truck when you deliver the pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, it's a Chevy ton truck.
I thought Toyota made the Tundra. Did you say Tundra?
No, ton truck. It's like as big as like a UPS truck.
Oh. Ah, so you drive a, hold on. Han, do you know how to write UPS? If you can spell
Han,
it.
Han, come on, Han. Sound it out.
Han is broken now. It's confidence. It says it's only good for one thing.
Starting
and one thing only.
Right.
Put the pen down and pick up the penis. Go for what you know. All right. So I've just used my penis to write. All right. Yeah, you work for a pharmaceutical company and you, wait a minute. You, hobbies. Yes, hobbies.
I attempt to play the cello and I like to make jewelry.
All right.
Those are actual hobbies.
Yep.
C-H-E.
Oh, no.
C, no H. Hand. Hello. C.
Remember when hand and mind were working as one?
No.
It's like, it's C E L O.
That's right.
L L O. One L?
Two L's.
Three L's?
Two L's.
One and a half. I'm just going to do a half L. Play
close
it safe.
Enough.
That's right. Yeah, cello. C-E.
So she drives a truck and she plays the cello.
Yeah, hold on. My hand wants to know why it's pronounced cello, but there's no H, and my brain just gave him the big... actually, puff of smoke just came out of my ear. All right, just poop the letters. I'll spell them out. It's an old joke from about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
And the kind of car... Oh, you drive a... well, what is your personal car?
My personal car is a 2004 Toyota Corolla.
Oh, and Brittany, what color hair do you have? Hold any on. Physical things about you that stand out?
The hand just spelled Corolla, C-A-R.
No, no.
I have black hair.
Black hair. All right, so Brittany, pharmaceutical delivery, whoever, right?
Yes.
Have we met?
I don't feel like there's a drug that's ever been delivered. Like, fully half the drugs that are dropped off are dropped off at the Bonaducci house.
Used to be.
Listen, Brittany is a raven-haired cellist, and she deserves a great personal story.
Yeah, well, she can't be in a marching band, can she?
Drives a Corolla and comes from Norwalk.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get started.
Brittany's coming to the stage. She's from Norwalk. How about I put a little Norplant in you, baby doll? Don't need none of them rugrats running around when I'm done with you. Although you'll need a good shower. She plays the cello. Yeah, I got some for you to stroke, but it ain't made out of catgut, I'll tell you that right now. I don't know. Yo-Yo Ma's the only one I can think of that plays that cello. Yo, mama, come over here, baby. The Ace Man. I got a Toyota Corolla you can jump into. Hold on. Yeah, now jump in and let me put it on cruise control. Brandy, stage 4, baby.
Mr. Crosser, because I know you're like, I'm a very physical guy, so let me just do this.
We shaking hands?
Yeah, I would have normally hugged you. Yo-Yo
Ma.
Of course he knows Yo-Yo Ma, but to put Yo-Yo Ma in a personalized trippogram was possibly one of the coolest things I ever... It's like a double lutz. You just don't see it, man. There's triple sound cow.
Yeah. I'm a Stradivarius of strip club announcers. Hold on, hey,
man, yo, if you can insert Itzhak Perlman, I'll really be impressed.
So no close, so close. All right,
yo.
Stradivarius, did he make cello? Did they make cello?
No, he also made cello.
He made a violin that you put in your crotch.
Yes.
Brittany.
Wow.
Yes.
Thanks, baby doll. Listen, I know we talk too much because we're out of time.
I think we're really funny.
On this segment, that's the problem. We're in love with the sound of our own voice.
Yeah, but when you get yo ma in a strippogram, somebody needs to stop the show and go, good job.
Well, thank you. That's right. Rick D's going to pull that one off. The good news is Pat Dollard is coming in here next. Young Americans is his documentary. This is about his experiences in Iraq. Boy, you want to talk about range, right from the strip club to in country. We're going to Iraq with someone who has been there. We will talk to Pat Dollard next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show from the new documentary, Young Americans.
I hate going home and like, well, this brother's kind of nuts.
How many people did you take out?
And then you got the tough guys when you go home.
Man, if I was there, bro, I would love to have this job, man.
Bullshit. Your hair.
Probably cry like a little
They're over there smoking blunts, watching MTV, sitting on their fat ass.
Filmmaker Pat Dollard on The Adam Carolla Show.
Pat Dollard is here. Also, he brought USMC Captain Brian Iglesias as well. So we're going to talk about Iraq, but first I want to talk about your background, Pat. You didn't start off making documentary films about war-torn countries. You started out where?
As a talent agent at the William Morris Agency and as a producer and manager.
Mm-hmm. Would you do me a favor?
And you were...
I got this knife out of my back. Bastard stab hard.
You were working.
Back in the day, that would have been correct.
It was probably, in a way, probably worse over at William Morris in terms of snipers and improvised explosive devices and things like that, at least politically.
People stay wounded longer, certainly.
Being in Iraq. But you were over at William Morris. You made seven figures a year. You had a very comfortable living, house in the hills and all that. When did you decide to step out of that world and into Iraq?
Well, you know, things sort of changed on September 11th. And, you know, what was going on in the world became much more important to me, especially given the fact that I had a daughter. And so as, you know, this war, to me, clearly was sort of like the front line, the main front of the war on terror. What was going on there was very important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it became important to me for people to understand what was happening there, because public opinion is what shapes policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt it was important that the administration have the support for the war that they needed.
So you're like the Pat Tillman of agents. You said, screw this, I'm taking off my three-piece suit.
I'm nowhere near as brave as
Cammy.
Right.
Don't let me hit you so hard so fast, but you said your point is to tell people what is really going on over there.
Right.
So tell me, man, because I'm lost. My little brother keeps getting shot, and I used to be all about it, and now I'm going, why is he getting shot so much?
Because there's a war going on there.
I got that, and he doesn't move as quick as he should. I got all those reasons.
Well,
why are people shooting to anybody anymore over there? Why aren't we either out or killing everybody?
I can't really speak to why we're killing everybody.
No, we're not killing everybody, and we should.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. But in any event, I mean, because there are people there, and there are people all around the world who have a vested interest in us losing there.
Right.
So these people all around the world pump people into that country. When I was in Fallujah, the Marines collected 18 different countries' passports on the dead bodies there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not dealing with a local popular insurgency where the locals are like, oh, my God, the Americans are here, and this so offends my national interests. I'm going to pick up my AK and stop feeding my family and go kill them.
Right.
You know, I mean, there is an international jihad machine, and they are waging war on the front line, which is Iraq.
Two questions. One is, the way I look at it is, great, instead of going from country to country and weeding out the people, they'll just come to us, and we'll let Allah sort them out. Sounds good to me, but then Rosie O'Donnell would say, oh, no, we're creating these people. They didn't exist. They're putting down their they're getting off of their plows. They're picking up their explosive vests and they're heading in to go find the infidels. Are we creating them? I don't buy that argument, by the way, that we're creating them. And I certainly don't buy the argument that anyone knows. You don't know if we're creating terrorists. And by the way, we've always had terrorists. When we stayed here and did nothing, and Clinton was the commander-in-chief, we had terrorists coming out the wazoo. So how are we creating something that already existed before we started creating it? But are we?
I believe that if we are, it is to a minimal extent. You know, it's not substantial enough to look at that as the main sort of focus in terms of deciding whether or not we should be waging this war there or anywhere else.
Yeah, but if you had your choice, Adam, between a terrorist blowing up a vest or actually physically coming out your wazoo, which would you take?
That's interesting.
Yeah, right. If you said we got terrorists coming out of our zoo.
Yeah, let's keep.
I am a terrorist bottom.
Yeah.
I've been told that many times by school counselors.
Let me make one point real quick in response to your question. Let's keep in mind that there has been nothing but a 30-year process of escalation on the part of the terrorists before we ever went into Iraq.
Right.
You know, they just kept getting worse and worse and growing, you know, went from the embassies to the point where they took out the World Trade Center.
Right.
So this notion that by going into Iraq, we have suddenly caused an escalation, that's crap. I mean, it was already going on.
Yes.
And ultimately, that argument is, oh, don't hit back. You'll just piss the attacker off more. I mean, you've got to fight back.
To me, it's a sort of fundamental thought process that the right and the left does not share. I come from a group of lefties, and I'm very liberal when it comes to growing your own pot plant in your own backyard.
His family's only left if they actually fall out of bed in that direction.
Yeah, I got it.
But I am
How
not,
would I know that?
I'm not that way when it comes to security, because I, first off, don't share the thoughts of the left, which is there's no truly bad or evil people. We just create them. They're somehow motivated. We must have done something or somebody did something. They won't sign off on there are bad people.
Right. Unless they're Republicans. They believe
people.
Republicans are inherently evil.
Well, that's a decent point. Yeah.
Well, Pat, what do you think of guys like George Clooney? You're a former Hollywood guy that's come out for the war. George Clooney's come out against it. How do you feel about someone like that?
Well, I think he's, you know, programmed with the usual indoctrination of liberalism. I think these people aren't really thoughtful. I think that they rely on old sort of paradigms and dialectics and dogma, which is, oh, there's a war and it's the U.S. involved with a third world nation. Well, we have to be wrong. Oh, the Republicans are for it? Well, it's got to be bad, and it's all got to be about corporate profit. They don't really think.
I don't necessarily agree with him on that. Clooney's a very bright man, and takes all, I happen to disagree with him vehemently. I'm on your team on this. But Clooney does not make random statements like Susan Sarandon has a tendency to do. He really thinks it out, so I don't believe there's any malice on his part. I think he thinks he's doing his duty. He's just wrong.
Well, I didn't say, well, that's what I said. I didn't say there was malice. I said there's an intellectual laziness.
Mm-hmm. I think he's been indoctrinated, and I don't think he has. I think he thought it out on his own and came up with this conclusion, and he's just mistaken.
Yeah, well George Clooney, I think, like, yes, a lot of the...
I mean, I still shoot him, don't get me wrong.
He's a partisan, though, so he's going to... You know, go ahead, Brian.
He's like a self-appointed spokesman, right, for the American people and the American soldier, Marine. You never hear anybody actually asking the Marine or the soldier. It's an actor or an actress speaking on our behalf.
Well, how do you feel about that as a Marine serving? Is that hurtful to you when Sean Penn or George Clooney speaks out against the war?
Well, I think it's very hurtful just because now the nation's going to see that. They you know, bow to pop culture, so they don't actually ask us. They see George Clooney, Sean Penn. They believe what they say is the truth. They don't ask us. They don't know what's going on, and now we vote for and have policy based on stars.
This is a good point, and I have a couple to bring up on it. One is, you know, people go, we're now in another Vietnam, and I say yes. What we did is we had a pretty good cause over there in Vietnam. Communism is evil. And communism was growing like a cancer, and we went over there to try to cut it out the best way we knew how to do in the late 1960s. And then we had an uprising here, and it became unpopular, and the pressure got so great on all the politicians that we had to pull everything out of there. And that was Vietnam. That seems like what's happening now. I'm making the argument, yes, it is Vietnam. Shut up and let us win this war.
Yes.
But the second part of it is you see Rosie O'Donnell on The View, and she's sitting there saying, you know, you guys are taking what the media's feeding you, spoon feeding you. She said something really stupid the other day. She goes, you know, there's only four news outlets. And I thought, well, four seems like enough to have a different opinion. Yeah. But she didn't say one. She said four. I think she thinks they're feeding us a bunch of propaganda. I don't hear it. All I hear is negative stuff coming out. But when I talk to the people that are there, they say you don't know what the real story is.
Right. And the people there say, we don't want to come home. We are not victims who want to be rescued by you people who are smarter than me. They don't. If the people who volunteered to fight the war, if the people who are truly suffering, as opposed to these imaginary constituents of Dennis Kucinich, who Dennis claims are just suffering terribly as they're sitting at home in front of their plasma screen TVs. I'm not sure how Dennis Kucinich's constituents are suffering at the hands of this war. The people who are suffering at the hands of this war don't want to come home. They want to finish the mission. So why does their opinion count less than the couch potatoes at home?
And, wait a second. You mean there aren't soldiers on their second and third tours that would like to come home? I would disagree.
They would like to come home, but just the last episode that I showed to somebody, there's a Marine who is volunteering for his third tour.
Everybody wants to go back because the mission's not done. And right now we're on a very short timeline, you know, thanks to the Democrats, that now we've got to try and finish this war. If we walk away now, every guy who's been there saw their buddies die, they're wounded, your little brother gets shot, and we get pulled early with our hands behind our backs.
I wonder if I've seen that. Have you shown a clip of this on TV? Because I remember seeing a soldier say essentially that, I don't want you people to bring me home. I'm here for a reason. Let me finish my job.
Right.
They feel like their legs are being cut out.
I think there are plenty of people who would like to come home with respect.
We need to take a break. We're going to stick with this. Pat Dollard is here. Young Americans is his documentary. We have stories about Humvees blowing up. We also have Brian Iglesias. He's a captain in the military, in the Marine Corps, to be more specific. If I was recruiting, I would only recruit guys with fat wives and girlfriends, because if you have a smoking hot girlfriend and you're in Fallujah and you're 19, you're like, I will bury myself in a 55-gallon drum that's getting in the back of a C-130 so I can get back to that hot piece ass. But if you have some 300-pound shrew who never stops chewing on your ear and she's crapping out her fourth kid, you hope you step on something explosive over there. I only want, that's what, bring me, if your old lady's fat, you're in, and you'll go for another tour, and you'll sign up for a third tour in hell. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to talk a little more Iraq next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to the Porcupine-Faced Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, everybody. Pat Dollard is here. Young Americans name of his documentary. He was in Iraq himself shooting this documentary. Saw many things. Captain Brian Iglesias also here, USMC. Thank you very much. So, Pat, you left the cushy confines of the Willie Morris Agency. And by the way, you know James Baby Doll Dixon?
No.
Really?
No, sorry, bro.
He does know Mike August.
He said he was the king of that place. Everyone knew him over there.
Dixon told you that?
I'm going to have to talk to that.
I vaguely remember him. Yeah.
Chainsmoker?
Yes.
Yeah. Who are some of the people you represented?
I do remember.
Back in the day?
Steven Soderbergh, writers like Mike Werb, who wrote The Mask and Face Off. I mean, everybody from Malcolm Jamal Warner on to Adam Ant to...
really?
Yeah, it was a trip.
And you give it all up. And, you
and
go
Johnny
to,
Rotten.
You go to Iraq. Johnny Rotten, and you're now...
My dog's name is Sid Vicious.
Iraq, there you go. And you're shooting a documentary, and your Humvee gets hit?
Yeah, I mean, it happened a few times. You know, the worst of it was one night when two of the Marines I was with were killed. It was just one of those things. It was a huge IED, and, I mean, one of the guys was just sitting, you know, right next to me, and just given, you know, the random nature of chance out there, I was just blown out. You know, it was an enclosed gun truck. It wasn't like one of the open back ones. And my door just blew open and I flew out into the night. And, you know, yeah, that was essentially the story.
Is there a plan or do you have a plan? I mean, if you're in charge, how do you win this war? And we can ask the same to Brian Iglesias from the Marine Corps. What do you guys think?
I would say,
what would the plan be?
Like saturation, send the troops and keep the troops. I know it's difficult, but that's really the only way to do it. And stop holding us hostage in Congress, like baiting us to give us money or pull us out. So either if we're going to war, support us, give us the money, separate the bills to pull us out or give us the money. We need the money next week. We're not going to get it next week. Give us the money, give us the troops, and leave us alone.
And what do you guys think, Pat included as well, about the other countries, Germany, France, other European countries that are watching their sort of terrorism grow over there at alarming rates and not getting involved with this?
Well, yeah, well, they are pussies. They are entirely... They're entirely irresponsible. And, you know, the reasons why they don't do it are, you know, not necessarily complex, but certainly many. It's, for one thing, they're like... Well, the Americans are going to fight, so why do we have to?
How about this? You know what I mean? They'd be goose-stepping around the Eiffel Tower right now if it weren't for us.
Absolutely. They certainly owe us. You know, another reason is because of the Muslim invasion of Europe that is going on. There is a bloodless invasion happening. France is finished as a nation. France is done. Any French people out there, you should, you know, wake up and smell the French roasted coffee. If the birth rates continue, within less than 30 years, France is going to be a primarily Muslim nation.
Well, that's the whole thing. There's this, first off, every day you don't speak up or do something or say something about it, there's a growing group that is infiltrating your way of life, essentially.
Yes.
And nobody says anything about it because they're scared scared that they won't get reelected, or they're scared their church will get burned down, or they're scared whatever. So they do nothing, and it's like, I'm scared of cancer, but I'm just going to let it grow because I'm scared to go under the knife. Well, it's going to be worse a week from now.
That's exactly right, and that's the problem with the European leaders. They're exactly that short-sighted. You know, just like you said, they're afraid to take a stance against, you know, Islamic countries because they're afraid of the Islamic voting bloc in their own country. But you're exactly right. It's going to catch up with them eventually.
Well,
they're eventually going to have to face the problem.
2 weeks ago on 60 Minutes, I don't know if you guys caught this, but they did a story, and it was out of England. And in England, if you're radical and you're Muslim and you want to assemble on a street corner and get a bullhorn and burn effigies and burn the Union Jack, do whatever you want, and the bobbies just stand around and keep the peace while you're shouting kill in the name of Allah right in the middle of England. And that's fine because their plan was you can do whatever you want as long as you don't blow up stuff on our soil. Well, a couple years later, they blew up the subway.
Right.
Over there. Of course, eventually they're going to. You're trying to play nice with people that are insane and worse, religious fanatics.
They have the same protests in Portland, Oregon, too, if you saw the news.
Right.
Right.
And we're asking people to do, we're hoping, we're not asking, we're hoping that this group does the right thing, but they're religious fanatics. And I don't know when the last time you checked, but religious fanatics oftentimes don't do the right thing.
No, no, they don't. And certainly the leadership of the terrorist movement, they're not, they have no interest in doing the right thing. They're grabbing for power like everybody else. You know, we don't know how much these terrorist leaders actually believe in the religious ideology, you know, how much they're just using it to, you know, motivate and control their followers. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like any human being, even if they believe in this, you know, they're motivated by power, like a lot of other gangsters are, and that's what these guys ultimately are. And the thing that we don't want to recognize, that we don't recognize, is the fact that, you know, you and I are not sort of saying, looking at, well, there's some Muslim populations growing here and there, and we're racist and saying, oh, that's an invasion. The reality is, these Muslim jihadi leaders are on record saying, this is the plan. We are determined to create Planet Islam, and we are going to take over the European countries. We're going to do it through immigration. There is a whole movement now that is sweeping up literally through the north of Africa, up into the south of Spain, to take control of the country ultimately through the bloodless, peaceful invasions known as immigration.
By the way, Planet Islam, worst themed restaurant I ever invested in. My agent, Baby Doll Dixon, he said, Sly's in on this one, Schwarzenegger's in. worst investment ever. All right, well, let's go out on a laugh, because otherwise we're going to start crying. Pat Dullard, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, we'll, Captain Iglesias, will you be going back to Iraq?
No, not anytime soon.
But I am.
Means he has a hot wife. Captain Brian Iglesias, nice work in Semper Fi.
Thank you. Bless you.
If people want to see your product, where should they go?
I'm in the process of closing distribution now. I partnered with Tony Scott, who is the director of Top Gun and Man on Fire. He's now a producer on the project. We're doing last-minute editing, and then we'll take it to the cable channels.
So you can go to patdollar.com if you want to check it out. All right, quick break. Be back with the news next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Guys, the heights that people will go to rescue their pets. And this
literally
happens to be a cockatoo.
Josh, wouldn't you think that the bird could get out of the tree?
You would think,
itself?
Yeah. That, like, you know, just come on down. Here's a little cracker or something.
But they're house birds, so I guess they're not.
Oh, their wings may be clipped, too.
That could be a number of
how to get up there.
That's good.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
That's why they have teleprompters. You always complain. You go, oh, those talking heads reading right off the teleprompter. Oh, yeah? Wait till they get off it.
Yeah.
No, it's kidding. A non-talking head. It is confusing as hell. There's one of those things you do a lot of complaining, like, I remember for a while people wanted to see real people in commercials. You know, enough of these models that Madison Avenue digs up. How about some real people? I don't know anyone that looks like that. And then they started putting real people in commercials, and you're like,
no,
screw this.
I remember that. I remember that movement.
Get that pig off the television and get that waif model back in there.
I remember that movement. We're putting real regular people on TV. It's the same exact thing as what happened in Vegas when they went to make it family friendly.
Yes. You want to see a real regular person? Go find a mirror, fatty. I want a hot waif model in my commercial.
Pretending she works at Denny's.
I got to drive up Highland to go home every day, and I have to pass the 9-foot naked grandmas on the side of the Dove building. Yeah. And it's like, do you think we don't know that there are unattractive people out there? I mean, look, here's what I'm saying. When I watch football Sunday over at Kimmel's, I want to know that the best athletes on the planet are represented on that field. I don't want, hey, everyone should be able to play. And you know what? That brother over there that runs a 4.340 and can bench 600 pounds, he doesn't represent me. I'm not interested in watching me.
Plus, there's
out
not
there.
One handicapped guy out there.
Yeah, I don't
that's
want
outlandish.
That's right. Get the young, hot, eating disordered models and put them up on those billboards.
Is this changing the subject at all to ask you?
Yes.
Because I don't think I know your answer on
yes.
this. And we've worked together. I think you brought it up, though. What do you think about the steroid thing in baseball?
No.
Do you think it wrecks the game or does not wreck the game?
The game is wrecked when they decide to play over 100 games.
All right,
for me.
Football.
Care less. Look, if everyone's in, it's not wrecked. If half the guys are doing it, it's unfair to the other half. That's my opinion.
Yes.
News, baby. What's in it?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
first year I staring at fat chicks on the Dove ad. Now I got old chicks. What could 08 have in store? Possibly fat old women on there? Why don't you combine the two?
Well, you've led me right into my first story, which has to do with Craigslist. And now, if you haven't been on Craigslist in a while, don't worry. It's still very sketchy. Mm-hmm. In Maryland, the cops busted a woman for soliciting prostitution on Craigslist. A 34-year-old woman put up an ad advertising that her sexual services, full-on sexual services for $300. Here's the catch. She's 7 months pregnant. Her 32-year-old husband was acting as her pimp. The two of them put up these ads. An undercover cop made an appointment to meet her at the house. When he got there, the very pregnant 34-year-old woman answered the door. She and her husband were both arrested for scheduling an act of prostitution and operating a house of prostitution. She got an additional charge of prostitution on top of that, and it'll be a fun story to tell the baby.
Sure, good times. I hope it's twins. Right. The bitch should be sterilized, obviously. This is somebody who has zero in the judgment department and is probably a survivor of abuse and shouldn't be raising raccoons, much less kids. But don't worry. There's nothing on the books that says she can't have any more kids after she craps out this
That's
one.
Right.
That's the way we love it over here.
On American Idol last night. Kind of a big surprise. The bottom three, not too surprising. Phil Stacy, Haley Scarnato, and Gina Glockston, the rocker girl. Gina was sent home.
Bottom three is the name of my junk, by the way.
You won't be hearing her sing anymore. Here she was singing Smile this week. Tony Bennett was supposed to come on
the show. At least she's singing a melancholy song. It sucks when they're singing Walking on Sunshine up there and the tears are pouring out of their eyes. They're trying to get through their song. At least this was just, wow, this sums it up.
It was poignant.
Right.
Tony Bennett was supposed to be there to perform, but he had the flu. And so this guy, Michael Bublé, stepped
in. He's 100. He's dead.
He's 80. Michael Bublé stepped in, and it was interesting. He gave a pretty dynamic performance, and then he had a joke. Ready for Ryan Seacrest after he sang.
Oh, it's all pray it was racist.
Can I just ask you one question before I go?
Yeah, we've
got time.
Yeah.
Am I wasting my votes by still voting for Antonella Barba? Because
no, I do the same thing. We'll be right back with your results after the break. She's not with us.
Mm-hmm.
Not
all
bad.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least took a chance.
Yeah, I appreciated
not
it.
Not enough people do that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Reese Witherspoon, as you know, broke up.
I was praying for a Pollock.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Reese Witherspoon, as you know, officially split from her husband, Ryan Phillippe, or however you say it, 5 months ago. Well, now, People is reporting that she's got herself a new man, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Wow.
I like that as a couple.
It's just funny. When you said People is reporting, I pictured an old black guy from the South telling me the thing.
People magazine.
Holding his head. People is reporting.
You know what else People is saying? People is saying.
I hate gay people.
What is People saying?
People is saying, People magazine, thank you. That didn't make me sound completely literate. People
Lizzie
is also
T.
saying.
People is reporting.
People magazine is reporting that they are together. They are not commenting. Now, in other celebrity relationship news, Ben Kingsley, 63-year-old Oscar winner, is engaged. This will be his fourth wife. Now, as I said, he is 63. This young woman is 23. Yeah. So a mere 40 years separate the two.
I think that should work out.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Okay, now this is
He'll
interesting.
He'll be sporting his Gandhi diaper, for real.
For real?
In a few years.
Oh, that's true.
This is, look, everyone, this is all you need to know about males in the psyche. This Ben Kingsley, he's probably been knighted. He probably has an Oscar. Yeah. I mean, he is. He is probably the smartest, most well-rounded, most talented guy in the world. But even he knows it's a good idea to hop on a ditzy 21-year-old at 60-something years of age. You can talk and talk and talk. You can do what it wants, but the groin knows what the groin wants. And there's no intellectual. There's no way to intellectualize around that.
So true. Now,
sad but true, yes.
I'll wrap up with this from Psychology Today. Have you heard of mate poaching?
Mm-mm.
Mate poaching is
Ted Nugent doing?
Yes. It's what evolutionary psychologists call going after somebody who's already in a relationship. Right. Now, this is very common in human beings. Bradley.
Some of us call it whoring.
Bradley University studied this. They thought, why is somebody so much more appealing when they're already in a relationship? And they found it comes down to our biological urge to find the best partner with which to reproduce. We're competitive. So when we see somebody's in a relationship, we know somebody else is vouching for them, which makes you assume that they're good for
them. You validated them, and now you want some. Women do this more than men, right?
Well, they say it's about even, and here they've studied this on in many different places, but in North America, 62% of men and 40% of women say they've tried to steal away someone else's partner.
I know this, and whereas I travel with a lot of guys, we'll go to Vegas for a bachelor party, they all take their wedding rings off. I put a second one on.
Yep. Yes! You want to be attracted to chicks.
Yeah, no, give me those wedding rings, and I'll show up with 8 wedding rings, and I'll be hopped on at the airport before we leave L.A.
It's one of the reasons I have my tattoo. Tattooed on in case I forget.
Smart.
And then I get to tell a romantic story on top of it.
Well, I have no wedding ring. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
All right, quick break, then we're back to wrap up and wrap out on the Adam Carolla Show. Ah, yes. Oh, man, I lost all my stupid papers. I know John Heater's coming in here tomorrow from Blades of Glory. And who the hell else? Damn.
Well, should we thank Pat Dollard?
Nah. Go ahead.
And our very kind Marine.
Brian Iglesias.
Yes.
Right. And the rest of you. Hey, you know who you are. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Give me a break.